Blog Talk Radio.
Need help keeping your digestive balance? Align can help. Only Align has Bifantus, a patented probiotic that naturally helps maintain your digestive balance. Try Align to help retain a balanced digestive system. Try the number one gastroenterologist recommended probiotic, Align.
Home improvement project you want to do? Take it on. Waste Management's new Bagster bag can take on the waste. The Bagster dumpster in a bag can handle as much renovation waste and debris as you can throw in it. Drywall, cabinets, sinks, clutter, up to 3,300 pounds worth. Schedule collection from Waste Management, and it's gone. Take it on with the Bagster bag, official sponsor of cleanup season. Plan your spring cleanup project at thebagster.com today.
Do you think you really know your loved ones?
It was love at first sight.
Maybe you do.
He made me feel like I was beautiful, amazing.
And maybe you don't. Real stories of deception.
He tried to say he really loved me.
Betrayal.
Stay away from this man.
And murder.
They had evidence.
By the people they thought they knew.
All of my worst nightmares came true.
The Devil You Know. All new series Wednesday, June 15th at 10. Only on Investigation Discovery.
Now playing on DirecTV Cinema.
Comes a comedy about what guys think they know.
So where are you, Texas? Like saying,
I want to have sex with you. I just need to know how drunk you are.
And what girls really want.
Did you just open a car door for me? No one's ever done that for me before. Do it again.
Welcome to the new world of relationships.
You can use each other for sex.
No strings attached.
Yeah, I could do that.
We're sex friends.
That's not possible.
No strings attached.
Movie start at channel 125.
You value your friends. So does DirecTV. Meg's worth 100. So are Mike, Carol, Bob, Jim, and Kay. For every friend you refer to DirecTV, you get $100 in bill credit, and they get $100 in bill credit on top of our best offer. Just give your account number to your friends and have them call 1-877-4-100 each. They must have your account number when they order. Refer up to 10 people and get $1,000 in bill credit. Then celebrate and watch the Benjamins stack up.
Sometimes I need to deep clean my carpet right away. Like when Mom suddenly decides to come to visit. We didn't really have time to rent a machine, so we just used what we had on hand.
Honey, where are you? Marco?
Hello.
Fortunately, Bissell has a better way.
Own a Bissell ProHeat 2X, and it's there when you need it. It has dual brushes and a built-in heater for a deep-down clean. And it out-cleans traditional rentals. It's deep cleaning when you need it. The Bissell ProHeat 2X. Bissell. We mean clean.
Distracted driving. It accounts for 25% of car crashes. Music, cell phones, food, the list goes on.
This is why safe driving is so important.
Correct.
And it's why the best agents help safe drivers get a lower rate.
Oh, exactly.
We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Quality inclusions than any other resorts on the planet. Book now. Save up to 65%. Call 1-800-STANDARD.
The shocking crimes you know. The new details you haven't heard. True Crime with Aphrodite Jones. All new. Thursday at 10. Only on Investigation Discovery.
And now, more from the man that's able to make even his own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy, the Patriot Sotomayor. I ain't talking about the New England Patriot. Although I wish I was Tom Brady, because then I'd have Gisele Bündchen. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to bring in my girl, Miss Sarah J, in just a little while. She's going to be coming on and talking about, she's going to be doing the Sexcapade segment. And glad that she could join us here on Saturday because we missed her on Thursday. Because Thursday, we were too busy talking about football on a short show so we could watch football. Yeah, man. But before we get to, I'm going to try to get to a few of you guys' phone calls first. I want my man, Aaron, if you're on the line, please press 1 so I can get to you before we get to Sarah J. And I want to get to Jackson right quick, too, and see if I can squeeze Christy in there. Jackson, what's going on?
What's going on there, Tommy? How you doing, boss?
I'm doing well, man. Hey, we're having a good show because we're able to laugh about one of the most tragic things that happened in American history. And you were up there near where one of the planes hit in the D.C. area.
Oh, yeah, so Pentagon, definitely.
Yeah, so I'd like for you to tell us, where were you, what happened, and what were your thoughts when it was all going down?
Well, definitely, first of all, definitely want to thank you for letting me post those videos on Kim Cameron and Aaron, so I appreciate that. But I was actually in Sterling. I've been in Loudoun County for about 27 years, which is Ashburn near Redskin Park, and I was actually on the phone because my sister lives in New York. She lived in Queens at the time, and she was working across the street from Pentagon, from the Trade Center, and they would not let them out of the building. And she called, and she's crying, and she's really scared, so I'm trying to keep her calm, and I'm watching what's going on, and she's like, my sister, she calls me Timmy. She's like, Timmy, you know, people are falling out of the building, and people are jumping out of the building, and they won't let us out, and we can't breathe. The building is filled with smoke, and she's just crying, and she's said she was hiding in some corner because they wouldn't let them go down the stairs because everybody was trying to take the stairs. And the whole building was filled up with smoke from the Trade Center coming down, and they said that they would not let anyone go out because the brick and debris that was still falling from the buildings and people were still falling out. And she's like, 100-pound human coming out of a window can be up to 700 pounds when they get down to the ground from how far they were jumping.
Mm-hmm.
They were just jumping out of the building. So she was just scared and crying and on the phone. I was just trying to keep her calm and trying to hold back some tears myself because I was clearly watching what was going on and they couldn't see anything.
I got to ask you, how did you maintain your calm? Because she would react. Were you conscious of the fact that she's going to react how I'm reacting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could hear her in her voice that she was crying and, people were, everybody was asking her what's going on, because all of their communications had been cut off other than their cell phone, so they had to rely on other people to tell them what was going on outside. And they could only see, glimpses of stuff happening. And she said, I can only see bodies coming out of the building. And she's like, what's going on? And they won't let us out because, all the brick and stuff that was falling from the building and the whole street was filled with smoke. So they weren't letting, people come down the stairs or go out into the streets at all. So I knew that if I lost it, because clearly I only got one sister and, she's the oldest out of a family of four. So she was, just crying and saying, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, well, right now the building's been hit by an airplane or something and people are not able to get out and they can't get down those stairs in the Trade Center. I said, so you're just going to have to stay there and find a safe place. And she's like, I can't breathe. And she's like crying. And so, of course, I'm, completely losing it, going, Ty, you're going to have to calm yourself down, and you're going to have to make do, you're going to make it through this, because, I could see her building from what they were showing when they would flash by on the news, and, me and my wife were sitting there, and, of course, we're going crazy, because we're actually on the phone with her, knowing that the first plane had hit, and the second plane hadn't come yet. So we were just trying to keep her calm, knowing that she was definitely in harm's way, and bricks were crashing into her building because how high the Trade Center is, and she was just a building across the street from it. So we were just trying to tell her to be calm and try and find some place to go. And she was, she got a couple of times she was getting ready to, kind of scream and freak out, but she was keeping it pretty cool. And, but she was just like asking me, what is going on out there? What is people doing? And all I can do is seeing bodies coming down past the window and what's going on. And I was like, you know that. I'm like, but, you're just going to have to stay in there until they tell you can go, because it's not a good scene out there right now. From what I'm seeing, it's no one can see. All the cars are getting hit by bricks. And so if you go outside, you'll probably have less chance to survive out there than you will where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just crying, I can't breathe in here, and, you know, everybody's crying, and people are trying to get their kids, and, you know.
And you know what this phone, you know what your tale sounds like to me? It sounds like the one of, I don't know if you've ever got a chance to hear it, but the one lady who was calling in, and she was calling 911, and there was a few people who they did it, they recorded that phone call. Well, those people didn't make it. And 911 was doing exactly what you were doing, trying to calm them down, even though you know you were calming them down to die.
Well, I was hoping that wasn't the case at the time because I was, you know, clearly I could see what was going on and I knew how far her building was. And it was like where the Trade Center is, there's a, you know, a building across the street and she lived the one next up. So they would flash by it and you could see, you know, she worked at a big government type of business. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I was hoping, but like I said, after the second plane hit, I was like, oh, hell. You know, and
mm-hmm.
at that point, I got off the phone with them, like, look, just get off the phone, try and find a safe place to hide where you can get some kind of air. And then the second plane hit, and I was like, oh, Lord. So, you know, we're crying and, you know, just trying to, you know, get off the phone with her, but at the same time, trying to keep her on to calm her down because, you know, you're laying someplace and you're pretty much blind and don't know what's going on in your surroundings. And my background, I've been in security for over 10, 15 years, so I'm not even comfortable eating in restaurants unless I can see the door. Like imagine being in a building and having a building that tall crashing down around you and you not being able to see other than bodies coming down, you know, through your window. You know, so I could just imagine what she was going through. And like I said, she's the older sister, so I just tried to keep her calm and, you know, just like, hey, you know, just find a place to hide where you got some stable structure around you, knowing that, you know, we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know how many planes were coming. And of course, then the Pentagon got hit. I'm like, oh, these dudes are spreading this shit around. You know, so, you know, and then of course, going with your boy, Soldier Boy, making comments like that, it's like, you know, everybody can have their views about the military, but you, there goes your shot with the whole being, what's his name, the rapper he's supposed to play in that next movie.
Oh, when he was trying to be, when he's playing Tupac's role in
the
Juice.
Yeah, you can kiss that one goodbye.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the thing is, why would you, and again, saying stupid stuff is okay. If that's what you do.
Yeah, you got to know you're going to lose some money. Ain't nobody going to be going along with that one.
You know,
it's like you said about the whole Dixie chick thing. I mean, she definitely, old girl's going to definitely have to lose some weight after that comment.
And if you think about it, you're like, okay, you can say this, sir. But don't you know that you wouldn't even be who you are if white people weren't buying it? And white people kind of take their country that they fought for? Because what people don't understand is we can say whatever we want about white people in America. They came over here and took shit and kicked ass to get it. So if their forefathers died for it, that's why I don't understand why blacks aren't more patriotic. We got motherfuckers that died to be in this country.
Absolutely.
That died help building it. We should be just as American as everybody else.
Oh, I definitely think there's a large portion that is, but for the most part there is a little underground sense of mentality that knowing, you know, the government knows a lot of stuff, just like, you know, President Bush or so at the time having some idea, some recollection of what was getting ready to go down and having some idea and being aware of this, being aware of that, and just not saying, hey, everybody, some stuff may go down, so protect yourselves.
Oh, we got
you
a
know.
Fucked up government, believe you me, but
oh,
if you
yeah.
look at what they were doing over in Iraq, if you look at what they were doing in Rwanda, we got a fucked up government. We still got a better chance than they do.
Well, I definitely believe that, and I definitely think that when you look at, you know, disasters like that, you know, even like years and years ago when the Middle East got hit and all that government and those banks start changing money and all of a sudden you see family members with large sums of money, and just like old boy, whatever his name, Wolfen, whatever it was, that got busted with all that money, that's what they start doing. You hit the Trade Center and take out some of the strongest financial minds in the country, and then all of a sudden the country starts going under and real estate starts tanking because all these people are screwing with money but don't know what to do with it, and everybody's trying to pocket this money. That's exactly what happened in the Middle East years ago because those guys were sending money off to family members because they were getting war. And the same thing happened here. When those trade centers started getting hit, you can bet your ass some dudes were siphoning off money left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens a lot when you're trying to restructure and trying to, you know, like I said, some of these presidents have their hands tied to some of these terrorists and deal with some of these terrorists.
That's my problem. A lot of these people, a lot of these politicians got rich. Jackson, I want to try to ask you one more phone call. I want to get to you when we come back from Sarah J's segment. Sarah J, I want you to hold on just a second. I know you're there, but I do want to talk to my man Aaron because he wanted to say something. What was it, Aaron, that you wanted to say? Because I know you have an opinion about this soldier character. Soldier boy.
Yeah, soldier boy. Like, I just want to let your viewers and you know, if you YouTube soldiers' reactions to soldier boy, it actually has a rap of a sergeant who actually rapped back at soldier boy, and it is intense. And he basically just tells him he needs to change his name, and he basically just schools him like on the whole entire rap scenario.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask somebody like you, who is an actual soldier, not a soldier.
Yeah.
But to listen to somebody with a name like this, who just got this title because that's what he wanted to give himself, no, not even street credibility, much less people don't understand the difference between street cred and what you do. Like, if you came into any one of these hoods around here, not only would you feel more comfortable than you did in a place like, let's just throw out any place in Iraq or any place out where they might have had you shipped out to. But you'll feel quite comfortable here in Atlanta after worrying about kids walking up to you with bombs strapped to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you got these guys who've never even seen live gunfire talking about fuck the troops. How does that make you feel?
It's just freedom of speech, but it's like you said, you know, fuck me, and it's, you know, fuck you. Like, yeah, he's probably getting paid more than me, but, you know, at least I got somewhat to say in my input in my country when it comes up at the end of the day, rather than him getting our tax dollar monies and just sitting there and making some god-awful rap over something that he probably huffed too much glue or ate too much ketchup.
And if you think about it, and what I want you to do and the other soldiers to do, is this one thing that you guys fight for. And just like you fight for his freedom of speech, we have our freedom to hit you in the fucking pocket.
That's all I say, man. That's all I ask for you and your viewers, man. Find a way, do something, get it noticed, and try to get this dude to realize, you know, it's probably one line in his rap song, but it's still one line goes too far. I mean, I know probably right now Tupac probably rolled over in his fucking grave.
Exactly. You got this clown playing me?
Basically, man, basically.
And it's one of the sad things. That's why I wanted to bring you back in because, again, I come from a military family. I didn't go to the military, but I come from a military family, and they took the military and take the military serious. And the ones who didn't go to the military or even the ones who served, when they came back, they became firemen and policemen. They believed in community service, and that seems like it's something that you believe in, community service, because at the end of the day, like how the caller called in, she said when they were all covered in the gray stuff, everybody was just American. That's all they were. We can have our little differences here and there, but when you think about the public service that you have done and continue to do, and then you listen to an idiot like this, what goes through your mind when you're out there putting your life on the line for an idiot to say this? I know it's what you fight for, but sometimes does it make you scratch your head and say, damn, I fought for this?
I know, exactly. Like, when I heard that, when I heard the rap, I just straight up turned off the television. I was just like, you know what? The day that Eminem comes out on something against Soulja Boy is the day that I will be a happy man again.
And what seems like it should happen, and I think it's going to happen because a lot of people have turned their back on him for saying something stupid. Because you got to, at a certain point, if you know you have all these ears listening to you, then you got to pay attention to what you say. That's just common sense. If no one's listening to you, then fine, say whatever you want to say. If people are listening to you, then you need to pay attention to what you're saying because your words carry a lot of weight. And like I said, the last time that people were actually against the military was probably Vietnam. And I think America grew from that where they realized, wait a minute. The military personnel are doing what their superiors are telling them to do. So if you're going to be mad at someone, be mad at the person you voted in office. But I bet you, I guarantee you, Soulja Boy couldn't tell you who his congressman or who his senator is.
I don't even think he knows what country he's in at the moment. He's so lost, can't even tell the left and the right.
Exactly. I mean, a guy like this is somebody that everybody should be able to unify against and just say, go away, sir. You've had your 15 minutes of fame. Now go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, Aaron, I'm so glad that you stayed here. I want you to keep on staying here. We have a segment that I want to do. Because it's a black show, we don't do shit on time.
Nah, it's all good, man. It's all good.
So we late. But I'm about to bring in my girl, Sarah J. Triple X. She's about to come in and talk to us about what was going on with her during her time during 9/11, because everybody's talking about their experiences, about where they were. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go into an in-depth version of our Sexcapade segment with Miss, the beautiful, the Hall of Fame, Miss Sarah J. Triple A. What's going on, girl?
Hello. I actually just landed from New York. I just left the airport.
Okay. You were in New York. I got to ask you, be honest. Was there any fear, how can I put it? Yes, that's how I can put it. Any fear, knowing that it's the 10th anniversary and you're here or you're there, was there any fear? Be honest.
Not at all. My fear comes from people being scared, comes from other people's fear. I worry about the media making things hyped and people being terrified and doing stupid things based on their fear. That's what I worry about.
You're more afraid of, it's kind of like somebody always told me, don't be afraid of be afraid of a punk, because a punk will do something that you might not see coming. So you're saying you're afraid of the people who are afraid.
I am. The people that act crazy and, you know, are just really, like, scared about everything, they, in my opinion, in my mind, and in my daily experience, they're the ones that cause a lot of the problems, you know? when we don't have a terrorist attack, you know, I know that there is a terrorist threat, and I know that, you know, the terror level is raised, and this is the 10th anniversary, but I fear the people that are fearful. I'm not fearful of terrorists, because there's nothing I can do about it, but, you know, on a daily basis, you run into all kinds of crazy people, you know, rushing around, and just, you know, being stupid, just not really thinking things clearly. New York was a really, really high energy place to be this weekend. You know, I was there all week, and as the weekend got closer, the energy in the city changed, and there's a lot of stuff going on this week in New York too, so I think that has a lot to do with it. There's, you know, there's Fashion Week and the U.S. Open. There's a lot of people from out of town, but it was a very, very busy, and people were enjoying themselves. You know, like, the city is very, like, there's definitely a high positive energy going on there.
So they're not walking around moping and being scared. They're living life and basically saying, we're here, not we're queer, but we're here, and
you know,
we're here, and we're not gonna let our spirits be dampened.
Right. You know, the people that live in New York, you can definitely tell that, you know, everybody's reflecting. This is definitely a time of reflection for the people that were there and experienced 9/11 firsthand. But also, there's a ton of tourists in New York from the United States and from all over the world now. You know, people that are there for the memorial and people are there for the different events that are going on this week. And nobody, you know, seems to be the events don't seem to be dampened because of, you know, the anniversary.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I love about America, say whatever you want. First off, we all should love it if we're here, because if we don't, then get the hell on. If you're married, you should love your wife, and if you don't, divorce her. Period. You can have your problems with her, but if you do not love your wife, get out. But what were you doing? Can you remember what you were doing when all this was going down in 2001?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's crazy to me because, you know, I am a porn star, but it just so happens I was having sex when the World Trade Center got hit.
No.
I had gotten off. It's a terrible story, but, you know, I have to be honest and tell the truth. I was married at the time. My husband and I were not getting along. And I sent him about 2 weeks before that to visit his brother. And so he was in New York at the time.
Mm.
And I had gotten off work. I was living in Las Vegas. And I had gotten off work and went to the bar. and met up with one of my girlfriends after I got off work at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. Las Vegas time. Went to the bar real quick and then met up with one of my friends and got a little booty call after work.
Mm-hmm.
I get home to my apartment and I hit the answering machine because it was 10 years ago. The answering machine, and there's a message on there from my husband. The World Trade Center blew up. I just thought you'd like to know.
Wow.
And and by that time, it was, you know, already, you know, 10, 11 o'clock New York time. And, there was I couldn't get through to anybody. I couldn't get through to any of our family or him or, you know, of course, all the cell phones are down and everything. And, I'm totally erect. Like, now, you know, not only did I just cheat on my husband, but he just called me from New York saying that, you know, we had these terrorist attacks. And now I can't get a hold of him. And I can't
so
get a hold
anything
of
could have happened to him, and your last thing you would have done for him would have been against him, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. And, that really... It kind of tears me up that, you know, that's the way it was, but, you know, that's the truth. And when I finally did get a hold of him, he had amazing stories. He's definitely like he's got a superhero complex. So as soon as he was staying in Jersey City, and as soon as that happened, he shot over into the city before they shut anything down. When the first plane hit, he could see it. He was standing outside, and he shot over into the city before anybody could stop him. And he helped pull people out of the building. And,
nice.
Yeah, definitely. While I was getting in Las Vegas, getting my wits pulled out.
Wow. Okay. So, when you, of course, I'm assuming after you heard the message, you turned on the tube to see if, you know, you might be getting bullshitted or whatnot. But you turned it on to see what was going on, right?
Of course.
Now, when you saw everything that's happened, because I described it earlier like an Orson Welles moment, and again, I'm a nerd. So for those who don't know Orson Welles wrote War of the Worlds, and for those who don't know the story of it, War of the Worlds was just a radio broadcast. It's kind of like how we have TV shows now, but they had a radio broadcast of his play or his movie, War of the Worlds, but the people who were listening to the radio thought that the world was being invaded by aliens. They didn't know it was a play. So everybody freaked out. Did you get the War of the Worlds moment where you looked at it and thought, this might not be real? Something about this just doesn't, because it just doesn't seem like something could happen. And you being in a major city out there in Vegas, did you get scared after you realized this is really happening?
You know, I didn't get scared. I got sad really quick. Turning on the news right away, and when I turned on the news, there was still a lot of confusion as to what was going on. You know, it was pretty quick. You know, there was an explosion, there was a crash. Nobody really knew, like, where it comes from or anything about anything. And, of course, I had to get ready and go to the dentist. So, you know, I turn on the news to verify what he's talking about. I put some clothes on. I go to the dentist to get my wisdom teeth pulled out. And the whole time I'm in the chair, we've got the World Trade Center, you know, news on, you know, the whole situation. So I'm getting my wisdom teeth pulled out, shot up with Novocaine, drooling out of my face, watching this, and, I start crying.
Like I said, it was one of the biggest things that happened to me was I did the same thing. And it's like, the stories were coming out, but it didn't seem so real until a few days later when they were starting to show video footage of people jumping out of a burning building that's 80 to 100 stories up. And they were jumping out.
Right. That was unreal. I think that was one of those things that all of us would say was completely unreal. Like, nobody can fathom that. Unless you were there, nobody can fathom what it's like to be in that position where you think your best option is to jump out this building.
Yeah. I mean, even now, it makes me want to cry to think about it. And my eyes water because I listened to just that thought. Like you said, my best option is to end it now. My best, when I worked at IBM, which is where I was at that time, I was working on the 25th floor. I was on one of the highest floors. And my boss used to laugh at me because I would not I moved my desk because my desk was by the window. I would get nauseous when I look out of the window because it was up too high for me. I'm agoraphobic. And so it bothered me to that extent. So when I would think about what they were faced with, that they were faced with the idea of I am literally cooking and it is a better option for me to jump out. And then we think about how this happened, all the things that were going on. And somebody brought up earlier about there were planes in the sky, yet there were no planes that we put up to knock them down, to get them out. We basically did nothing. We basically just got hit everywhere. Does any of that make you go back and think we're either safer now or we're still as vulnerable?
You know, I do think we're still as vulnerable. Maybe just because we cannot live in a police state. We have to have our freedom and our rights because this is America.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to just live your life and not worry about things like that because you can't stop it. And
yep.
Even, you know, as much as, you know, we try to put a little bit of control on our security and, you know, we have a military presence and a police presence, terrorists will find a way if that's what they want to do, or whoever will find a way if that's what they want to do. And, you know, just like any other crime, you know, if you own a store and your store has a problem with theft, somebody's been stealing a bunch, you can put all kinds of security systems in, but if somebody wants to steal something enough, they will.
You're right.
You know,
you can't stop people who want to do something from doing something. You can't.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to do it bad enough, they'll work your system and figure it out, you know, figure out what they need to do to get it done. So
mm-hmm.
I don't live my life in fear. I can't, and I won't let anybody stop me from living my life.
All right. That brings me to the next question. What you do for a living, you travel all the damn time. I see you on Twitter talking about you in this state, this state, this state. You travel all the damn time.
I'm sure
you were traveling all the time at that point as well.
How
long did it take before you got on your next plane?
You know, I actually, it's funny you say that because at that time I wasn't traveling as much as I am now because that was 10 years ago and I had just started my adult industry. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, my first work trip to New York was in October of 2001, 2 weeks after.
Wow.
Yeah, I forgot all about that, and so you said that. And for about the first 2 years that I traveled, I got almost, this is your last, I got the whole row almost every time I flew.
Mm.
Now, anybody who travels knows if you get the whole row, you have just scored because you can lay down, you know, when you get all three.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Right. For the first 2 years that I traveled, people were so afraid to fly that the planes were empty. I can remember flying to New York, you know, months after that. And there'd be 15 to 30 people on a flight to New York from Las Vegas.
That is a shame. And, you know, my story was the same thing. Literally 2 weeks later. Of course, for some reason, IBM wanted to have a damn conference. And they wanted to have this conference in Reston, Virginia.
Right.
I had to fly up there 2 weeks later. And like you, I'm on a plane from Atlanta to Reston, Virginia, which is a little down the street from where they ran into the D.C. Pentagon.
Right.
And I'm on this plane, and I was like, one, they probably going to have to fire me. I don't think I could do it. And then I was going to drive, and my wife was like, well, you're not going to drive the 13 hours. You're not going to do it. You just fly. And she was like, it's probably safer now. I think she just wanted to get rid of me, and I'm going looking back on it now. But I was like you. I kept saying, if you're going to die, you're going to die. It's your time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the people in my life are always so worried about me traveling so much, and they're always terrified that, you know, something's going to happen. I'm more terrified something's going to happen when I'm in a car.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, it's the populace, it's the general populace that I'm terrified of. You know, the people driving drunk and stuff, that's the people I'm scared of. I'm not, you know, planes fly hundreds and thousands of them every day,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, nothing happens. So the chance to be on that one plane is like slim, you you know? I've never let anything stop the way I live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the way, mm-hmm. way I live my life, you know? And I'm definitely not going to let fear, terrorists, nothing stop the way I live.
Well, if nothing else, that is the message that we're trying to convey here and that we've been conveying for the last 10 years. And hopefully Americans, like you said, up in New York can live that way and everywhere else. Because, again, if they're living that way in the epicenter where it all happened, if your ass in Lexington, Kentucky, you shouldn't walk around talking about you scared of nothing. Now, let me ask you this. In your business, and ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, we are live right now with the beautiful Miss Sarah J. Triple X. And if you want to find out more about her, go to Sarah J. That's SarahJay.com. Check out some of her stuff. Become a member of her website as well. Sarah, how did this affect the business that you had just gotten in? How did it affect the porn industry?
You know, I might even have to say I'm not sure because I think I was in it too short of a time to
you were
realize.
Too green.
Yeah, I was too green, exactly. But I, you know, I went to the East Coast Video Show, like I said, in October, which was a adult convention that used to happen in Atlantic City every year. And mm-hmm. I went to the East Coast Video Show in October of 2001 and spent 2 weeks in New York. And I've never experienced something like that before. When I got to New York, I had been to New York before as a child, but when I got to New York, this time, everything was different. You know, like, you just walked into the epicenter of tragedy, you know, everybody was crying, and the, you know, I went and looked at Ground Zero, and it was just speechless, you know, I'm crying now thinking about it. It was insane. That they had all these T-shirts, like everybody that came by put a T-shirt for who they represented, you know, on the fence that was around it, and there's flowers everywhere, and people crying. It was
mm-hmm.
so sad.
Now, I want to ask you this, because it goes back to what you just said about how the people were, and the people were, you know, basically, again, it's in their backyard. Somebody said to me, and my man Antoine Dotson, just sent me a message, and he said, you know, want to cry. He said every time he thinks about it, he cries like a baby. And he said, please move on. We need to get past this. And I've asked this question earlier, so I'll ask you, Miss Sarah J. How do you feel about it? Do you think we should treat it like the Jews treat the Holocaust, and they bring it up every year, and they say never forget? Or should we say, you know, just move on and act like it didn't exist because that's the only way to heal? Where do you fall in on this, okay, 10 years is enough, let's let it go? Or should we constantly remember what happened?
I honestly feel it should be like a combination of the two, like somewhere in between, just because I don't feel like it's something that we should dwell on. And I hate the fact that the media, that's all that's on TV right now. I hate that. I think that's terrible. I really feel that the media, in most cases, blows things up to, like, ridiculous proportions. But I do feel that we should make it something like our Memorial Day or Labor Day, where we remember, we take, we take time off. I feel like it should be a day off work. And
quit just wanting to get a day off work, damn it.
No, but, like, seriously,
I'm just
like, I work every day, regardless if it's whatever holiday it is, so it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
But I feel like it should be a day to remember, and I do feel like that it should be a national holiday, because not really anything like that has ever happened to us, you know? Like, that's something pretty important for American history, and I feel like it should be remembered by having a specific day, you know, obviously, where people are off work and they can spend time with their family and be thankful that they have family.
So maybe, and let's see if I can get this correct, because here's how I view it. I'm with you on that. And a couple of soldiers called in and said the same thing. I was shocked that they said, you know, well, to a degree that it's overkill. And I'm going to read it like this, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I read it that what you guys feel is overkill is this, that you make it such a sullen day and then such a day where people are afraid. It's like there's more fear-mongering on this day instead of like a day of national remembrance. If it was a day of national remembrance and national pride, that it would be a better memorial. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I mean, look what we've done with the holidays like Labor Day, Memorial mm-hmm. Day, 4th of July. I mean, when you think of 4th of July, you don't think about independence necessarily. You think about parties and barbecues and fireworks. Same with all that stuff. And I feel like September 11th should not necessarily be a time, you know, where we're all sad and crying, but maybe be a time where we remember and are happy that we're here.
Okay, I like it, Sarah. I like it a lot. I like what you're saying, and I like what you're – and I like the fact that you were one of those people who got on the horse right after and said – I mean, I got to ask you this, wrap it up with this. Where did you get that kind of mentality to be able to say, I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, to be able to jump right on a plane 2 weeks later? Because with me, I was scared, but I needed a job. You did it because you were like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, because technically you're right with the numbers. There are people die every day in car crashes. You don't turn on TV every day and see a plane go down.
Right. Now, you know, I've never let anything stop the way I live, ever. From the time I was a little kid, you know, I wasn't the most popular kid around. I got made fun of a lot, but I still was me. And I've carried that over into everything I do. You know, I'm in the adult industry. That's not the most popular industry to be in on a moral aspect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never let anybody stop me. I do what I want to do, and, you know, there's nothing that can stop that.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's an impressive thing to have and to be able to do it, because, again, not everybody has that, the fight or flight gene. You took the fight one instead of the flight one, because speaking of, I mean, no pun intended, there are a lot of people who have not flown since 2001. There's a woman who called in earlier and said she has not been back into the city since 2001.
Yeah, you know, I have to say honestly, like, I hate to say this, but those kind of people kind of disgust me a little bit, because I feel like those are the people that I'm afraid of. Those are the people that act irrationally and are not really thinking things clearly, you know? They're acting out of fear. And that's just not a really good place to be. Whenever you act out of fear, you get all kinds of crazy things happen, like racism. And,
right.
All these things, like nothing comes good from fear. Nothing comes good from fear. So I get worried when people, you know, tell me things like that. I don't know if I can hang out with people like that. I'm like, I don't know if we can hang out. You're scared to fly like that because of a terrorist attack that happened 10 years ago? Yeah.
You're right about that, because you have to move on. You have to move on, and I teach that all the time on the show. We talk about moving on. Sometimes, if you stay stuck in the past, you'll usually die in the past. If you don't adapt and just decide that you're not going to let life, because eventually your life is going to come to an end anyway. I think that's the funny part about it, Sarah. People think that, I guess, that they can somehow live forever. I think that's stuck in all of our minds. So we think if we do these little things, we can live forever. But at the end of the day, why would you want to spend your whole life cooped up in your house?
Well, and you know, you brought up a good point, too. As far as living forever, like, we can't stop death. We cannot stop it. You know, it's coming. So however it happens, it happens. I'm not scared of dying. And there's so many people out there who are terrified of dying, and that's where more fear breeds more fear. You know, you're scared of dying, then you're scared of terrorist attacks, and you're scared of flying in planes, and you're scared of riding in cars. Where's it going to stop?
You're right. Now, next thing you know, you done bought a gun, and one of the neighborhood kids is coming by trick-or-treating, but you're so scared that you think it's a terrorist, you done shot through the door, killed a 5-year-old trick-or-treater, all because of, like you said, fear. And fear makes people do dumb shit.
It sure does. It sure does. That's for sure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been joined, and we've been doing it all show. We've been joined by Sarah J. Triple X. She has told us about her stories about how she was in Vegas doing dirt.
I was doing dirt. All I can say about that whole situation is I am so glad nothing happened to him.
Exactly, because I don't know how you would have had to live with that one. That would have been tough.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's my ex-husband now, but we're really good friends, and oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know how I would live with that one.
Well, and he sounds like a good guy anyway, especially like you said, he went into it. Like I talked about how the firefighters, they went into harm's way. They didn't run away from it when normal human instinct is to run away from it.
Now, he had no training. He wasn't a firefighter. He wasn't a cop. You know, he just did it on the sheer fact that he wanted to be a part of it and wanted to help people.
Mm-hmm. And it's people like that make this country great, though, right?
Absolutely. Big, strong man who wants to help, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now lastly, I know I said I had one more question, but you know every time I say I got one more question, like five more come out. I got to ask you what you think about, I don't know if you're into rap or not, but Soulja Boy said fuck the troops. Do you think that's something that should be just overlooked and looked at as just this idiot, or should people take out, what are your thoughts, well, should people take this out of his pocket, basically take it out on his pocket?
First of all, let me just say I'm a huge hip-hop head. I'm a huge hip-hop head. I haven't heard the Soulja Boy comment, but is Soulja Boy really a rapper or hip-hop artist anyway? Is this somebody that we should be listening to regardless? Like, I don't listen to anything anyway. Like, you know?
I'm with you. I can't. Like, I'm old school.
Keeping it real, who the fuck is Soulja Boy?
I'm with you. I'm old school to the point of where I'm like you. I'm like, dude, what they do isn't rap. I don't know what it is they do.
No.
It ain't
like,
rap.
I went and saw Q-Tip spin last night, so I don't know who the hell Soulja Boy is, okay?
Well, Mr. Soulja Boy, you heard it here. We are telling you loud and clear. My girl Sarah J said, we don't know who the fuck you are, sir. But you need to change what you're doing because you is not music. I don't know what that is. It's entertaining for the children. It'll make the kids go to sleep at night, I guess, if you them to death. But that's not hip-hop, so I'm with you on that, Sarah. Let them know again where they can find you and where you're going to be in the next week. Because I know you said you came from New York, so what you got coming up on the slate?
Ooh, right. You can always check me out, sarahj.com, follow me on sarahj XXX. But this week, I'm going to be in Miami. This weekend, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. And then after that, I'm doing my European tour. I'm going to London. I'm going to Amsterdam. I'm going to Brussels. I'm going to Turkey. And, that finishes off September.
Nice. So my girl is doing big things, and she's all over. Got her little Hall of Fame induction. And now she's just letting the world know what she does. And, baby, we enjoy every inch of what you do.
Well, thank you so much, and it's always a pleasure.
All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the beautiful Miss Sarah J Triple X. She came and joined us. She joins us every – well, we don't know. Sarah J, like the rest of the black folks, she fit right in because we'll do a segment on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. But Sarah is going to – we have tied it down to where it's going to be Thursday. So every Thursday, you'll be able to hear her at 10:15 Eastern Standard Time, when she's going to come on. And what she typically does is gives you, she does a lot of stuff, and that's what makes her segment so fun. She not only tells you things about the industry and then tells you things about helping with sex, but as you see tonight, she is able to give you her thoughts on hip-hop, because what we want to show you is Sarah in the completeness, Sarah as a person, not just Sarah that you see on the screen, because we're not all defined by our job. I'm not defined by my job, although a lot of people would like to think so. I'm not defined by my job. What I'm going to do now is going to run to a phone call. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views. Of course, we're talking today about 9/11. What are your memories of the day? What are your thoughts about where we've come as a nation? Did we move closer to each other? Are we still at this great chasm? Where are we as a people? Let me go to my girl, Christy, in the 703. Christy, what's going on?
Hi, Tommy. How are you?
I am fantabulous. I'm enjoying
fantabulous.
This show.
I say that too, and people laugh at me.
I say it because I got a lot of gay friends. Go ahead and tell
me
us
too.
What you
exactly. Fantabulous.
But no, we have been having such a good time because we didn't want this to be a show where people were downtrodden. We wanted to remember, we wanted to reflect, but we also want to be able to take it in a different direction where, like the soldiers were saying earlier, that 9/11 shouldn't just be this day where you just get together, be scared, and start crying.
Right. I agree.
What are your memories? What were you when 9/11 happened?
I was actually working for United Airlines.
Oh, wow.
At the time, at Dulles Airport. in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. slash. And one of my coworkers, Angie, she came over to me, and she says, "Christy, my husband just called." And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, why are you telling me this?
Yeah, you thought that she found out about your affair.
Right, I'm like, and? You know, because I'm checking people in. And I'm like, okay, what's your point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes, wait, come on. So we went in the back room, in the briefing room, right behind the ticket counter. And I'm sorry if I start crying, because this is like, I mean, and we got the, finally got a channel that worked. And right before the second plane hit, the American Airlines plane had hit, right before the United Airlines plane hit, I saw the smoke and everything from the one tower, and I looked, because her husband had told her some kind of plane hit the tower, and, you know, and we're thinking like it's like a little, you know, private something, not that that would make it any less, you know, but we did not think that it was like a large aircraft,
right.
You know, or a commercial airliner. And so all of a sudden I see the second plane coming, you know, towards the tower. And I said, and all of a sudden it was like, I mean, I'll never forget it. It was, all of a sudden I looked, I said, where the fuck did that second plane go? What the hell happened to it? And the next thing I saw was the explosion.
The fireball, yep.
Yes.
That fireball is ingrained in, I would think, every American that was alive over the age of 4.
Oh, yes. Yes. And it was like, I was in such shock, and then it was numb at the same time, you know, or right after that. And my daughter at the time was in elementary school, and here I am with my United Airlines uniform on, and it was towards the end of my shift. I worked at the end of my shift, and I left, and I'm like, I'm going to get my daughter, you know, out of school. And I walked in the school, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm coming to get my daughter. Now, my adrenaline is like 1,000-plus at this point. And they said, no, you can't take her out of school. It's safer here. I said, who is going to stop me?
Yeah, I was about to say, I've never understood that. Do you know how many people died in the second building because they told them it was safer to stay in the building?
Right, than to leave, exactly. And I said, look, I'm taking my daughter out of here, you know, and there was, like, new kindergartners, first graders, you know, so I wasn't going to say any, like, you know, bad words, but I was close. And I was thinking, you bitch, if you keep me from getting my child, you're going down, you know? But I said, I don't know who you think you are, okay? That is my daughter. You cannot keep her in school. And then I see my daughter in her class walking down. I said, let's go. And I grab my daughter's hand, and I take her out. Because she goes, you're going to scare the kids. Well, the kids didn't know what happened. And I honestly don't know how the teachers knew, other than, like, through the phones or whatever, because they didn't make, like, a big announcement. They didn't want to scare the kids. I get that. But a couple of things I just wanted to share with you and the people that are listening. First of all, I want to, first and foremost, I want to thank all the soldiers and their families.
Amen.
For everything that they do, that their families do, what they go through. What I noticed after 9/11 was, as you had said several times before, and I loved it, and I've got to thank you. After that happened, people were one. We were not black, white, Hispanic, this, that, and the other. Everybody was one. Everybody for a while was looking out for each other.
People were nicer when you went to the grocery store.
Exactly. People were holding the door open. People were smiling at you. People were that never talked to anyone that they don't know. We're talking to people they don't know. Hi, how are you? You know, everything.
Neighborhood watches were actually watching the neighborhood.
Right, exactly. For once. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that was, if, you know, there are things that, as you know, things happen and we don't know why at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain things happen and we're like, oh, I don't understand why that happened. And I'm not saying that it happened because of this, but my feeling, the one thing that I really got out of it is that for a while, people became one. People were looking out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't looking at each other. It was looking, like, you know, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
And for a little bit, there we had that.
Mm-hmm.
So EMS, police, firefighters, the people that went in the buildings.
Those guys were amazing. I mean, literally, if you just want to use any word, it's amazing. And
right.
the amount of personnel that lost their lives running into burning buildings, please
Amen.
Understand that this is abject to human behavior.
Absolutely.
Normal human behavior would not be to run. It's just like our military guys.
No, they would
guys.
Run away. Right.
Yes. No, but you see what those guys do during those military raids and stuff and like how they got Bin Laden. We want to talk about that a little bit during the last 2 hours. But they're running towards the firefight, not away. No, most people wouldn't do that, especially black folks. I'm just saying.
Well, no, I agree. And also, you know, well, I'm not even going to go there. But anyhow.
But it's just boy, soldier boy. There was a line I heard a rapper say. It says, easy to be a soldier when it ain't no war.
Exactly. And that little skinny motherfucker, excuse me, but let me tell you.
Say it.
You know what? He is about the, you know, biggest piece of crap shit. I hope, really, no one ever buys anything, uploads anything, nothing from
yep.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not a soldier. Get your skinny ass out there and you fight for the country.
Yeah, he couldn't even fight for his neighborhood. That's what
no,
I said.
Of
all these people
not,
who claim to be so
before,
pro whatever they
right.
are, they do nothing. They do nothing
and
but run their mouth.
When Bow Wow calls you out, when Bow Wow calls you out.
But well, hold on, wait a minute. I'm behind on the news. Bow Wow called him out. Really?
Yeah, there was a thing about it on it was something on TV here in D.C. And they said it's pretty pathetic when Bow Wow calls you out in public. And that's why I put on this thing, like, Bow Wow calls you out? Oh, yeah, you're real hard. You're
oh, my.
Really hard. Yeah,
and then his
no
pathetic.
I'm gonna have
you
to
know what was worse than him saying it? His pathetic ass, his reasoning for saying it, his explanation for why he said it. When he said, oh, well, what I meant was we're spending more money on the war than in education. And all
no,
I kept thinking
we're spending more
was,
money on his shit.
Yes, we're spending, you
plays.
Spent more money on,
yes.
On this stupid-ass jet.
Yep.
What money have you spent on education, sir?
Right, nothing. And from that comment, obviously he didn't get his fulfillment of his education opportunities.
That's what I'm saying. He's the poster boy for we need to put more money in education.
Right. And lock you in there till you get it. I mean, seriously. I mean, to be, and I said it earlier, to be ignorant is one thing. You know, ignorance is when you don't know. Stupid is when you do know, but you do it anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think just, you know, when people say something like that, and like you had said earlier, you know, when people are buying the music, blah, 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 whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, you do have to be careful. Yeah, there's going to be bitches and hoes, I'm a fucker in her ass, blah, 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 that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But you can choose whether to listen to it and purchase it or not.
Amen. And that's what people don't understand. The power, back in the Ben Franklin days, it was called the power of the pen.
Power of the pen with that feather yeah. thing. Yeah.
Yes. Well, now we got the power of our dollar. We got the power of our purchase. It's no longer the power of the pen. It's the power of the purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to act right once you start threatening their pocket.
Right, the Dixie Chicks. I mean, compared to what this asshole said?
Yeah, what they said was they was just ashamed to be from Texas because he was from there.
Right.
And
well,
a whole
I'm,
nation went
saying,
against them.
And then everybody went against them. But Soulja Boy is like, oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you what else, God bless that sergeant who made the video in response to Soulja Boy's ignorant ass music, if you want to call
it
that.
I gotta see it too. I saw you guys put the little thing in there. I think it came across.
You've got to see it. God bless him. I sent him a message actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, God bless you for standing up, you know, to this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say you're a soldier or soldier. I mean, he can't even spell it, but anyway. Soulja Boy. Okay. Boy, you know, is a negative connotation. Anyhow.
Well, he's already explained himself when he came out as a boy.
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, why would you even... That's just stupid. And he's just a waste of time and waste of space.
It's just funny in the black community, and I'll say this, and Christy, I want you to stay around because I want to bring you back because I got to ask you some questions, some more questions, but we're going to a break. But it's just funny how black men don't want to be called boy, yet their rap name will be something boy. Big boy. I don't understand that. I said, don't you call me no boy, I'm a man. What's your rap name, Soulja Boy? I'm a man. I'm a 40-year-old man. For those sports people, y'all know what I'm talking about right now, and y'all laughing along with me. If you ain't watched ESPN, you're not laughing, but that's a good one. But black men, seriously, if you don't like being called boy, why your rap name got boy in it? Just curious. I'm just wondering. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 347-989-8310. What we're going to do is go to a break, and I'm going to come back with more of you guys' phone calls, as well as we're going to read some stuff going on in the news, because there's a few things that I think you guys need to know. One, about another argument that ended up in three people dead. Y'all better stop arguing with y'all significant other. This is, well, y'all know what this is. Quit playing like you don't. Aw, yeah, it's your world.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views. The realest show on internet radio with your host, Tommy Sotomayor. Keep it locked.
It's the way you bring out the sun. It's the way you make it all fun.
Know who makes the day sunny? My mom and Sunny D. I love the taste. Mom loves the vitamin C. And now it has 40% fewer calories than most regular soda brands. Sunny D.
Drink up and download free music. Find out more at sunnyd.com.
It's new! Oh! It's nice and easy Color Blend Foam. Permanent color with tones and highlights now in a delightful foam. Just reshape, foam it, love it.
It's fantastic.
New, nice and easy Color Blend Foam. Your right color.
Nobody saw it coming. Not even me. But I think they call this family time. I won't tell them that. Get the Wii console plus Mario Kart Wii, a Wii wheel accessory, and more. Now for just $149.99. Rated E for everyone.
I'm Phil Mickelson, pro golfer. If you have painful, swollen joints, I've been in your shoes. One day I'm on top of the world. The next I'm saying,
I have this thing called psoriatic arthritis. I had some intense pain. It progressively got worse.
My rheumatologist told me about Enbrel. I'm surprised how quickly my symptoms have been managed.
Because Enbrel suppresses your immune system, it may lower your ability to fight infections. Serious, sometimes fatal events, including infections, tuberculosis, lymphoma, other cancers, and nervous system and blood disorders have occurred. Before starting Enbrel, your doctor should test you for tuberculosis and discuss whether you've been to a region where certain fungal infections are common. Don't start Enbrel if you have an infection like the flu. Tell your doctor if you're prone to infections, have cuts or sores, have had hepatitis B, have been treated for heart failure, or if while on Enbrel, you experience persistent fever, bruising, bleeding, or paleness.
Get back to the things that matter most.
Good job, girls.
Ask your rheumatologist if Enbrel is right for you.
Don't worry, Lucky. These Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks will save us.
Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks. Try our new flavors.
You know, there's so many great things about being a Sulpata representative. The culture of this company, along with our incredible sterling silver, sets us apart from anybody else. If I knew what Sulpata could do for me when I had young children, I would be telling you, you need to sell Sulpata now.
The financial opportunity has been beyond my wildest expectations.
Starting my Sulpata business was so easy.
The best part about Sulpata are the parties, because you don't have to sell it, you just have to wear it.
Go into a party with your jewelry, your catalogs, and your smile.
This is a business that's so flexible. You're the boss. You're in control. You're in the driver's seat.
It's the easiest thing I've ever done that rewards me for being me.
I'm a Sulpata woman.
I'm a Sulpata woman.
I am a Sulpata woman, and I live life in style.
His own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome back to the show. We have been having fun because that's what needs to be done on the anniversary edition of the decade anniversary edition of 9/11. And it's strange that it's been 10 years, but then with me, it's strange that motherfuckers talking about some, you about to come up on your 20 year class reunion. What? Oh, Lord, no, I'm getting old. All this stuff, I'm with them. Sometimes maybe we need to stop celebrating, or at least calling it something. We can have it, but let's not put a year behind it, because it let everybody know that I'm getting old. They don't need to know this. But, man, it has been 10 years since the worst terror attack on U.S. soil. Now, you guys brought up a great point. And they brought up, well, I mean, we don't do this with, or it's not made that big of a deal with Oklahoma City. Well, could it be because Oklahoma City was perpetrated by one of our own? So we don't want to call it a terror attack, which is what it was. Have you noticed when a Christian do something, it ain't terror? When a Christian do something, it ain't terror. The Muslim do something, it's pretty much terrorist. I'm just going to throw that out there. Shit, that's just me talking. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 347-989-8310. Please, please, please call in. Tell us your story. Want to hear more from the people. And I want to talk Bin Laden in the last hour, 2 hours of the show, because we're here till 1 a.m., So call in the numbers 347-989-8310. Press 1. Let me know you want to talk. Let the board operator know that you want to talk. Because if not, then you're just sitting there. But Bin Laden was captured. How do you feel about the capture of Bin Laden? Who should get the credit? Do you think Bin Laden had something to do with 9/11? Do you think that because of his subsequent death, that we are now a more secure nation? I'm curious about that, because I don't see it. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that we are just as vulnerable as we were. I remember somebody telling me the safest thing to do now is fly because they're not going to let anything go through. Well, they had people on planes trying to light their shoes on fire. I mean, they got it in that. You had these. I just think if things are going to happen, people, they're going to happen. I think what you cannot do is find yourself living in a shell. I don't think you can find yourself just confined to your home and afraid to live your life. Because as George Bush said, if you do that, then the terrorists win. The terrorists, they win. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to live your life like that. Now, I did have some in the news stuff, but I should have written it down. Because my computer went down and it came back up. And I don't see it no more. So it's gone. Damn it. So I don't know. So who knows? What? I'm reading something. Hold on, y'all. Y'all got a bit actor who appeared in the first Austin Powers movie was sentenced Friday to life in prison without parole for violent 1990 gang rape of a Southern California woman. Joseph Sun, 40 years old, was found guilty of the felony count of torture August 25th after being linked to a crime through DNA evidence, said Farah Imani, spokesperson for Orange County. In 1997, Austin Powers, international man of mystery, Sun wore a bowler hat and played one of Dr. Evil's henchmen, Random Task. I remember that one. Damn. What is up with people taking ass? Who needs, and then you want to gang rape somebody? What in the hell? Oh my God, no. Who gang rapes anybody? That's why I don't like gangs. I don't like that, and I'm telling you people, these people, people love to jump. They love to jump in a pile. If a group of people doing it, man, you gotta watch out. I have to watch stupid people doing a bunch of stupid shit just because a bunch of other motherfuckers is doing it. Bothers me to no end, to the nth degree. This stuff shouldn't be happening. You're too damn grown. But even law allows people in gang situations to get away. I guess. They get to get away because they fucking stupid. So we say, well, you know, they fucking stupid. We give them a pass. Stop giving people dumbasses a pass. We need to call dumbasses out. Anyway, let me go and get to the phone line. A gang rape? Anyway, let me go to my girl Fenton. She done called in. What's up, girl?
How are you?
I'm sad. Gang rape?
Oh, yeah.
Not only are you going to rape somebody, but you need help.
Happens a lot from what I gather. This is sad. That's very sad.
I know, and it's just so sad, baby. It's just so sad. I'm telling you the word. Do you ever do this? And maybe that's my problem. Like, I couldn't sleep this morning because I sit around and I think, that's really sad. And whenever I say that's really sad, I can't sleep because I feel empathy and sympathy for the person I'm saying or the situation I'm saying that's really sad about. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah. You know, just listening tonight just brings up a lot of emotions. There's just so many emotions tied to just everything you're talking about tonight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, where were you when the buildings were
I
hit?
Was at
I'm
work.
Sure you were in elementary school.
No, I was at work, actually, and I was working with one of my patients, and I saw, you know, the news flash for the first tower, and we saw the smoke. At that time, it was like we think a plane has run into the building, or we know a plane has run into the building. And I thought immediately, like everybody else, oh, well, that's probably a little private plane. You know, I thought it was maybe somebody trying to commit suicide or somebody that was upset. I thought it was a little private plane that may have even gotten off course and ran into the building. But then I saw this gigantic plane, because it wasn't like it just went into it. It made like a circle. You remember that?
Yeah.
It almost circled and came into the building. It was like, I'm headed for you. You're my target. It wasn't like an accident. And mm-hmm. I remember seeing that plane run into that second tower. And the thing I thought about that was, oh, my God, I didn't really think about the people in the tower. I thought about the people in the plane. I was like, oh, my God, you know, it's been a plane crash, and they accidentally ran into the tower. But, of course, as things unfolded and we started to hear more about it, I got thinking about the people at the top. I was like, you know, there's no way they're going to get down. But I had no way of knowing that. I think what really got to me was the implosion. You know, you were hoping that people could get down and get out, and some people did. But when the Twin Towers came down, when they just fell, I think that was when everybody really knew just how serious and how deadly and destructive the whole thing was. It was to see them come down and to know that all the people that were in it and then the people that were around it,
yep,
you know, were going to be affected. It was just an awful, awful, awful thing.
Curious question.
It was
Did you
awful.
Ever get to see
yes.
any of the videos of the people jumping out?
I did. I heard about it, and I saw it, and I heard, you know, when they talked about, when I first was listening to it, they talked about, like, the plane, the jet fuel, and they talked about the heat and the combustion and the smoke and all of that, and I guess the heat just got so overwhelming, you know, people felt like they were need to jump out, and then some people said that it was the impact and everything just blew some of the people out of the windows. So, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. And see, I said I was going to try to make it as upbeat as a show, and we're going to do that. But, like, every time I hear certain things, it makes me sad. And those are one of the things that make me sad. And it hurts because, like I said, just to imagine that someone says, I can either burn or I can jump from 90 stories up to my death.
Yeah, and because you and the thing about it is, I don't know, you know, if anybody's ever been in near death situations, or if you have been, or you know, any other listeners. But I know I was in an earthquake once, and you know, actually, we were in an earthquake not too long ago too, the little one that happened on the East Coast. But I was in an earthquake in California once, and so many things at a time like that goes through your mind in a split second. You can think 10 different thoughts, and then the people may have been thinking, you know, if I stay here, I know I'm going to die. If I jump out, I may be broken up, but there may be a chance I live and I can survive. And you know, or you just never know.
No, I think they knew it was it. At a certain height, you know, you have no chance of surviving.
It's just
they
like,
could. The
I
people
mean,
look like ants from where they was at. The people on the ground, if they could see them, they look like ants.
Yeah, it was just. Oh my God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it was just something.
Mm-hmm. It's like I heard of somebody, and again, y'all know I always have to mention ID Network because they sponsor us. But if you watch some thing on ID Network about, well, there's a show about the people saying that they should have been dead. And there's a point in all of them when they speak about how they got to the point where they said, eh, this is it. They came to grips with death.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never been there. And I know you said you were in an earthquake and a bigger one than the small one that we had. But have
mm-hmm.
you ever been at that point where you were like, okay, this is it?
No, I've never been to the point that I just knew that was it. In the earthquake, I knew there was a possibility, but, you know, it wasn't like it was that close. It was staring me in the face. So
mm-hmm.
thank God that has never happened to me. But I do know that those people had felt they had no other choice and really had no other choice because they were going to go one way or the other. It was just a horrendous thing so ask me another question. Want to get off that.
Yeah, because the only time I stared death really in the face was during my divorce. Now, and I stared it in the face then, but I want to ask you about
wow.
the subsequent years later, what was it, 9 years later, almost 10 years later, almost on the
mm-hmm.
Decade anniversary, we
mm-hmm.
supposedly captured and killed Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
What were
uh-huh.
what were your thoughts? Were you proud of the president, proud of the military? What were your thoughts when he was captured, and do you believe he had anything to do with 9/11?
Well, I'm going to tell you the thing about 9/11, why we keep talking about it and we keep regurgitating it and keep revisiting it. Number one, you were talking about the Holocaust. That's so many years removed. 10 years for the magnitude of what happens is really not that long a time.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got the people who still remember running into the building, when you've got people who can still look out on Ground Zero, when things are still being rebuilt there and there's a constant reminder of it, it's not the Holocaust. Most of the Holocaust survivors, actual Holocaust, I think they said one of the last one died recently or something. I can't remember. But most of them are remembering through reflections of people who were there before. But we still would remember because the generation who was affected by 9/11 are all still alive. You know,
yeah, I was about to say, it's fresh in their minds. So that's why I'm a little bit like, how do you just say, let's move past it? Let's just, you know, let's move on.
Well, you know what? Only people who can do that are people who have really, really escapist minds, you know, people who can't deal with reality. Because, I mean, the fact of it is, I don't think you can move away from it just yet. When you've just captured the person that supposedly, and that's the big word, supposedly was behind all that, has just been killed, you know, it's still, and you don't know whether there's going to be retaliation and retribution because of that, you know, you here you are still, it's not settled. The fact of the matter is, it's not settled because to this day, we still really don't know enough about 9/11 to ever completely feel like it was settled. We heard it was terrorists. We heard it was the Muslims. We heard, but you know, terrorism isn't going anywhere. It's been around for ages, and neither are the
America
Muslims.
America was formed on
anywhere.
Terrorists. To think about it, the British had the rule. The American colonists became terrorists.
And see, that's what I'm saying. Terrorism is one man's terrorism is another man's hero. You know, one man's terrorist is another man's hero. It's just like, you know, if somebody is always terrorized in a situation where there's war, where there's opposition, you know, it's just who you want to label as the terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're terrorists to some people. The United States are terrorists to other countries, you know, to them.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
It's like, really, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we don't see it that way because, you know, we tend to think we know why we do what we do and we're told why we're doing what we're doing. So I think that, you know, we're not going to get away from 9/11. And the thing that changed with me was flying. I didn't fly for about 6 months because I didn't really need to do so. But I remember I was going on a cruise, and the cruise, the people who did the cruise set up, so I had to have 3 flights to get to Florida.
Damn.
I'm a direct flight person. I will fly the company, the airline, whoever can fly me there directly, that's why I fly. When I
okay,
fly
did they break
Dallas,
it down
I
into
fly.
3 flights because of fear or because they cheap?
They were cheap.
Oh.
And so they broke it down into 3 flights. And I was like, I don't want to get on 3 planes to get to Florida from Virginia. And so it's like, but that's the way it was. And I was just so afraid. I was really nervous about being on a flight, and I really still have never felt as comfortable flying as I had pre 9/11 2001. I've never felt as comfortable flying. I do fly, and I love to fly because I'm one of those people that if I have to drive more than 4 hours, I'm flying.
Okay, so you got a rule like me. But yours is 4 hours. Mine is 12.
Mine is 4. If it's more than 4 hours, I fly. And so I like flying. I like what it can do for you. I don't have the time, the luxury to drive 2 and 3 days, get on a train in 2 or 3 days, get cross country. I got to, you know, get on that plane and get to California or wherever I'm going. So flying is a thing that changed for me. But as far as Bin Laden's concerned, who should get the credit? The United States, if the United States actually did it, you know, the SEALs, they should get the credit. Should Bush get the credit? I mean, are we going to do something like crazy, like the Texans who were saying, oh, George Bush is all because of him? I mean, I really
don't
think
that's the argument. And you know what bothers me about that? Maybe you see it this way. What bothers me about this is supposed to be a great thing that happened in United States history, yet you still have us who should be together as United States citizens bickering over who should get the credit instead of the military should get the credit.
Yeah, the military should get the credit for it. It, you know, it happened to – now, don't get me started because, you know, I think that our government knew about 9/11 and I think our government knew 9/11 was going to happen before it happened. I think they knew a lot of details about it. I think our former president was very well informed of what was going down.
Mm-hmm. Then you got Condoleezza Rice standing up there saying we had no idea. No one ever thought of planes hitting, running into buildings. Then they come out and show that 6 months earlier they actually had a report sent to them that said that. Then you find out on the day of they were playing military war games, pretending that planes were hitting buildings. So when the planes were actually hitting buildings, the military thought that it was just a war game.
You know, I'm not trying to be Michael Moore with conspiracy theories and everything, but I looked at the reaction from the previous president, and he was briefed. I saw them come and whisper something in his ear. He kept on going. He was reading to children at a school in Florida, I believe, and he never got up and left. He kept right on going.
He was reading My Pet Goat like it was the best book ever, like he was reading War and Peace.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, I would have probably jumped up like, what? You know, excuse me, children, I would have been gone. His reaction to it was, I guess it's typically him because he doesn't seem to be one who's moved by a lot. But
I'll say this. Here's the one thing you can't deny. Screw if he wanted to move, the Secret Service would have moved him. If the country's being attacked, they don't know who's next because his itinerary had been published in the newspaper. So that means if the terrorists were attacking stuff, they could have attacked where he was. So they would have immediately taken him out, but they didn't. And that lets you know something's not right because anytime things aren't right, they move the president. They move the vice president. They moved everyone else.
He was underwhelmed. That's all I can say about it to me for the situation. And so for Bin Laden not to be able to have been captured, because if I'm not mistaken, 9/11 happened in his first 10 years as president, his first 4 years.
No, it happened in his first 10 months.
Right. So here we go. So you've got 2 terms, and you can't get this gentleman, and then who's supposedly behind everything. But then the next president comes in, and before his 4 years is out, you know, he along with the military can get this person captured. How much were you really attempting to capture him?
And you know what? At first he said, we got to get him dead or alive. After we realized that we were in Iraq for no reason, then he said, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if we get him. And I was like, how did you turn around and tell people it don't matter if we get him when you told us that you wanted him dead or alive? We had to get him. This was why America went over there, because we wanted to get him. Then it turned into, well, Iraq had weapons of mass destruction when it wasn't Iraq that attacked us by his own saying, it was the Saudis. If 16 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, who attacked us?
I think that's the whole thing that is the problem with all of 9/11. We don't really know what happened. We don't really know who we were attacked by. We might know Muhammad Atta. We might know some names. We might know some things. But we really don't know who it was. So even though we've maybe gotten Bin Laden, people are not sure that it's going to end because they're not even sure, 100% sure that he's the one. They're not, you know, if he's more the terrorist attack was more than a human. It was more than a person's idea. It was more than a person's desire. It's a whole ideology.
Exactly. That's why I said you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't kill an idea.
Killing one person.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot kill an idea by killing one person who ascribes to that, because there's many more.
If that's the case,
so,
Christianity would have stopped at Jesus.
Yeah, you can't kill that. You can't kill a religion. You can't kill a people. You can't kill an idea. And so if there is hatred for the United States, it did not, or whatever it might be, it did not die with Bin Laden.
And I'll tell you what, Fenton, when we get to the after show, I want to ask you something about the religious implications of what had been going on after 9/11. I want to talk to you about that as well, because I want to get your perspective on that if we can, okay?
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you hear there's passion on all sides, and I want to talk to my girl Virginia right now from the 510. You better not be in Virginia. Are you in Virginia?
I'm not
Virginia?
In Virginia. I'm in California.
Okay, I was about to say that.
I've never actually been
ironic.
To Virginia. I was just named after it.
All right, good deal, good deal. All right, Virginia, thank you for calling. I'm assuming this is your first time calling, yes?
Yes, it is.
All right, well, I hope you've enjoyed the show so far.
So far, yes.
All right, now I want to ask you, where were you at the time of 9/11?
Believe it or not, I was actually just waking up that morning. I was needing to go to school. I was actually a senior in high school at the time.
Oh, wow. Okay, when you were waking up, you saw the television, you saw everything that was going on, and were you like
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I had my TV set to wake me up, and when I woke up, I thought I heard something about it, but I thought I was still dreaming.
Exactly. I was wide awake, coffee in hand, looking at it, and thought, there's something about this still isn't right. And I don't know if you remember, but when the first one hit, the news people were kind of poo-pooing it, saying, it looks like probably a passenger plane or something ran into it. They weren't thinking it was a terrorist attack at all. But
well, yeah, I mean, nobody would think that because nothing like that's ever happened.
Exactly.
I mean, they were probably thinking like I was when I first came back in, realized what was going on, because it was before the second plane hit that I thought it was actually a small plane myself.
Mm-hmm.
That had I guess the guy had lost control flying it, and he ended up inside the building.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I got to ask you this. Once you realized the gravity of what was going on, and you were out in California, so you were ways away, but you realized that a lot of the flights were...
I was still terrified.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, because a lot of the flights were originating from there, meaning there were a lot of flights that were unaccounted for a long time.
Yeah, and the fact is, what a lot of people probably didn't realize is the flights were coming from over there out to here, first off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you think about it, even though I was in a smaller city, so more likely I was nowhere near any danger, San Francisco is just right over here.
Mm-hmm.
And
you remember they were afraid the bridge was next, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah,
they assumed that was next.
Both of our bridges, actually, the Bay Bridge and the Golden Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our financial district over here as well that could have been a target. So
yep.
I was honestly scared myself.
And don't you guys have a big CDC out there? We have one here in Georgia. Don't you guys have one out there too?
I thought San Francisco was that.
I know you guys had a lot of stuff that you had to worry about, and a lot of people out there were afraid.
Yeah, mostly for the Bay Area, it was San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. So now, once you look back on it, and once you think about it, because we had talked about the whole Bin Laden thing and they captured Bin Laden and whatever, what are your thoughts on Bin Laden, and what are your thoughts on the legitimacy of we have, quote-unquote, won this war on terror because we got this figure?
You know what? I don't think this war on terror is ever going to be done. And the reason why I say that the war on terror is never going to be done is because the fact is you brought up what happened down in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
With that bombing. Technically, yes, that was a terrorist attack. I thought that was a terrorist attack.
Because
I was in ninth grade when that happened, and I knew all about terrorists. And when I found out that it was one of ours, I'm like, I couldn't believe that we actually had a homegrown terrorist here.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we poo-poo Americans doing things against America? I mean, if you think about it, the Unabomber was a terrorist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I completely agree with that. And I don't understand why people are saying if it's an American doing something on American soil, it's not a terrorist attack. Technically speaking, yeah, it is. And if
and it's the worst form of terror. And it's the worst form of terror because it's
out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. It's the worst form of terror because it's the akin to there's a rapist in the that's running around the middle of, in the neighborhood. Then you turn around and imagine this. Not only is there a rapist in the neighborhood, but the rapist is your daddy.
Exactly. Personally, I think rape is a type of terrorist attack. I think just about anything like that is a terrorist attack because the fact is it instills terror into you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a terrorist does.
Mm-hmm. It's fear in what could happen. Now, let me ask you, when was the next time you flew a plane or that you took any long trip or even went across the bridge? Because we have nothing
the bridges
like
I went across all the time after I realized that everything was down. I really wasn't as scared to go across the bridge anymore. In terms of flying, by that time, I had actually never flown. I'd actually flown about 2 years after the terrorist attacks, and I was scared to death because the fact is I was so used to hearing about people being able to send people off at the gate and then all of a sudden security stopped that completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I was flying by myself for the first time 2 years after it. I was like scared. I was already nervous enough when I first thought about flying to begin with before 9/11. I was terrified after 9/11. But once I got over the initial fear and actually flew, I was okay with it. I'm still a little nervous flying anyway, because of all the other accidents that you hear about. But I'm not afraid of a terrorist attack per se, because those are very rare to happen to begin with, especially with a plane.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Okay, question. We were talking earlier, and people are sending me emails, and I'm getting 50-50. Some people are saying those people are crazy, and some people are saying I agree with them. And what they're arguing about is people saying that we have invested too much time in 9/11. We need to get over it, get past it. Where do you stand on that?
You know what? If you can get past it, then that's good for you. But a lot of us, like I remember that day, and I was terrified, and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get past it.
Amen.
It will always be on my mind because the fact is it happened during my time. I mean, hardly anybody I know doesn't remember 9/11. And the only ones who don't remember are ones that, you know, were too young to remember because they were such a little kid. I mean, they were like a toddler when it happened. Those are the only ones that I know that don't remember it.
Exactly. To them, it's a story like how we would have read about, let's say, Vietnam.
Yeah, like my dad was in Vietnam, and he tells me about that every once in a while, but it doesn't really stick with me as much as the stories of 9/11 does.
Mm-hmm.
Even
my dad
stories
used to tell
that
me
I
about,
have absolutely no business hearing, it sticks with me when I hear it because the fact is even though I wasn't in New York or in Washington or even in Pennsylvania, I was still there.
Yes, that's what I said earlier.
I saw it unfold.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said earlier.
No
I said,
way
this
I could
was...
get that out of my mind. And you were talking about earlier how seeing the people actually falling out of the buildings and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw those people falling before the videos of them falling came out because I could actually see it as it was actually happening.
Like when they were broadcasting.
Yeah. I could actually see. I could tell that it was a person falling. Not paper or debris. It was an actual person.
And see, that means that your perception
is... You can tell the difference between debris and people.
Yeah, your perception is obviously higher than the rest of us because you're right. If you were looking at live TV, you could see it. But I think what it was it goes back to what you said. You remember when you said, well, we figured this would never happen to anyone. So we figured at that moment no one would actually jump out of those buildings. So when we saw the stuff falling out,
before I really actually saw people jumping, I thought there might actually be people jumping because when I saw how bad the fires were, and especially that fireball of the second plane, I knew the fireball of the first one had to have been just as bad as the second one. I knew there had to be at least a few people jumping. Because the fact is, they had a choice.
Yeah.
Cook
alive, horrible choice it was.
Or get smashed on the ground. It's a horrible choice, but that's just the way it is. That was the only choices they had because there was no way. I knew that there were stairs in those buildings and all that, but with the way that explosion went, I knew they had to have been blocked.
Yeah.
And there's the only other way I could think of to get them out is to have them go all the way up to the roof and then have helicopters start taking them off. But then they were shutting off airways in New York because of the planes doing that, so I didn't think there was going to be any way to get them out.
Yeah, I just
didn't think the buildings would fall.
Yeah, and you know, they were thinking that and what was sad was the people had, some of the people, when they saw they couldn't go down, I don't know if you know the story, they went up thinking that, well, some helicopters will come up and get us, not knowing that one.
What they didn't realize is the fact that the airways had been shut down.
Yes, they couldn't even get to the roof first off because all the doors were locked. Because they never thought, well, one, you couldn't do an air rescue from up there anyway because all the smoke was going up and no helicopter could go there and get them.
I mean, it was a miracle that the helicopters that were still up in terms of the press were allowed up there.
Yeah.
And
the only reason they were still up is because, like you said, well, they didn't know what was going on, first off. No one knew what was going on. So that's why they were still up. And once they were up, then they were letting them film, and then they got them down. But like you said, yeah, you didn't know who was whom at that point. You didn't know if the press could have been more terrorists. You didn't know who was who, and everybody was suspect. Now, I'll ask you one more question before I get to another phone call. Do you think that we became closer and then just went right back to living our lives the way we were? What do you think? What do you think will be the aftermath legacy of 9/11?
Well, I think in the beginning, everybody came together, including the Arab culture with all of us, because, like, we didn't know who would do it. What I didn't like was after that, when people started saying, especially because Bin Laden even admitted to doing it. I don't know if he really did it or not, but that's a completely different subject. People then kept going with everyone else but them. They singled them out for hatred, which I thought was wrong because they're Arab doesn't mean that they're a terrorist.
Yeah.
I mean, because even Christians can be terrorists. I'm a Christian. I will admit it straight out. I'm a white Christian. But I'm not a terrorist, but I've heard of white Christian terrorists. And I don't really like them, but of course I don't like any terrorists.
Exactly. And I think that what you brought up, and I would love for you, we go into this thing called the after show in about 20 minutes where I let people come in like groups and we all talk and we have like this big group. So I'd love for you to stick around for that. But you're right. The terrorists come in almost every color, shape, form, or fashion. And the problem, what happened was ignorance made people start to judge people by how they look, not what they did. And once we started judging people by how they look over what they did, then that makes us worse. And Sarah J said it earlier. She said, and the one thing I love about my shows is 50-50. Just as many white people listen to the show as black people. And sometimes they don't call, but I'll get emails and they'll tell me, you know, I want to talk on this subject. And you know, I get read a lot of their emails sometimes. But we have to look at the world as the act the individual is doing more than the religion that they're practicing. Because Virginia talked about it, there's a lot of white Christian males who have performed some of the worst acts in history on United States soil. They are terrorists. This is what they are. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 347-989-8310. Call in. Press 1 if you want to talk. We're about to get into the after show in about 15 minutes. And the after show is where I let groups of you guys get on and we all talk and we have fun and we laugh and we bring up whatever we want to talk about. So if you're on the line, wait. If you want to talk now, go ahead and press the 1. I'm going to bring in my man Brian from here in the 404. What's up, B. Ryan?
All right. Now, how everybody doing?
Doing well. Doing well. You're a first-time caller?
No, I'm not first time calling. What's up, Tommy?
What's happening with you? Hey, Brian, yeah. Hey, check it out. What were you doing the day the towers were hit?
I was in Thibodaux, Louisiana, actually tearing down an oil rig, man, loading it on truck, getting ready to move it to Texas. And some guys ran out of the one of the trailers, you know, where the guys sleep at night, and they ran out and they said, airplane just crashed into one of the trade centers. You know, I was like, you know, me, I was just like, well, whatever, you know. I didn't believe
it. Yeah, it just sounds like it'd be like something small, nothing big, right?
Yeah, my first reaction was that's probably something, you know, like the meteor shower thing they did on TV one night. Had everybody think meteors was headed toward planet Earth, and everybody was calling around, thought it was the end of the world.
Okay, so you thought it wasn't even a real story. You thought it was going to come out and it was going to be a farce.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we all stopped working, went in, man, and you know, the first plane had hit by the time we got in there, and I actually saw the other plane hit live, you know, while the reporter was, you know, talking. And I couldn't believe it, man. I was just like, man, this is unreal. You know, I said, man, we finna go to war with somebody. My first reaction was, we finna get ready to go to war with someone. I don't know who, but it's gonna be a war started somewhere behind this.
Mm-hmm.
The more and more I, you know, got into it and got a chance to get into my hotel room and watch TV and just listen to the stories develop about it and see all those people covered in the dust from the buildings collapsing and the people that they were saying that was inside of the buildings, people were jumping from the buildings, and it was just surreal to me, man. I really couldn't believe, you know.
So once you realize,
right now.
Yeah, so once you realize what was going on, what was going down, be honest with me. What were your next response? What was your next reaction? Because, again, like I said, I got home. I went with my wife. We went home. And I stayed in the house and just kept looking at TV. I just knew the CDC here in Atlanta was about to get hit.
Well, like I said, I was living in Mississippi at the time, but I was, in Louisiana working. So it's not really a whole lot of targets down there in the swamps, you know, where we was working, you know, on the oil rig. So, I mean, I was just basically in the hotel room going to work every day, you know, on the hotel room back to the rig location. And so, I mean, you know, it took a couple of years for it to actually, you know, dawn on me really what happened as the stories, like I say, stories started developing and different things started coming out. And then I eventually started doing research on my own, and I stumbled across some stuff, not none of the things like they got where they said, you know, it was a hologram, the planes were holograms, and it was missiles that hit the buildings and all that type of stuff. But I actually, you know, just started doing research on my own, and I stumbled across some things, you know, where they were saying that, you know, a plane hitting the building that high, there's no way that it would have made the whole building collapse based on, the architectural design of the building. And,
common sense is that didn't make sense. So you go. Let's go ahead and get into it. You took it down. So I'm gonna let you do it, B. Ryan. All right.
All right.
Conspiracy theory. What do you think? Because we were supposed to be given the praise to Obama for getting him, for killing him. Do you think that man had anything to do with it? Do you think Iraq had any war, any weapons of mass destruction? And do you, and I hate to ask it, but I got to ask it, do you think our government had any prior knowledge or even a hand in what happened during 9/11?
Well, you can listen to the Donald Rumsfeld tapes before he resigned. And he was talking so vague, it was almost like he was, you know, speaking to someone, telling them how to write some kind of record contract to rip somebody off the way he was talking. he was talking so vaguely, man, to the point where it was almost like he was talking in third person about himself and in code about other things. But what he was saying was basically the only way you can control American people is through fear. But he didn't say it like that, man. But, I mean, you can go listen to the tapes online where it's definitely his voice. He can't deny it, you know. And, yeah, the government knew what was going to happen because they evacuated certain people out of the building.
Yep.
You know, before it happened, because it was this guy that was a director of emergency response in New York City. And he was actually in one of the towers before they collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, you know, he was on the 8th floor, and that from the 6th floor on down collapsed below him. He was trying to figure out, like, why would it collapse below me inside the building?
Yeah.
And he said he heard explosion. You know,
yeah, and there were a lot of people who said they heard explosions. You're right. They discounted all those people who said they heard explosions. They got firefighters trained to hear and to know that there were explosions. They were saying, you heard a boom, 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 boom. That's what they were saying. Then,
yeah,
then they, and
like
this was before the building went down. Go ahead.
Right, right. So this guy here is the you know, director of emergency response. I can't remember his name. I was trying to look it up, but my computer got some kind of bug. Because I was going to give you his exact name so you can go look it up for yourself, because the videos were on YouTube. They may have taken them down by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because the guy is dead. It's a guy that's got a radio show that's going around the country now telling everybody about this guy's story, how he went on YouTube and put his video up, and he told them, he said, look, there were explosions.
Oh, you talking about the black guy?
Inside the building. Yes.
Yeah, I saw. You can see that on 9/11 Loose Change. I forgot his name, but I saw it too, where he was just calmly explaining it. Then all of a sudden at 53, he has a heart attack.
Right. And, you know, his boss man called him and warned him, said, look, if you want your job, stop telling people about these explosions.
Mm-hmm.
But that really wasn't what he was saying. If you want your life, stop telling people about these explosions, man.
Exactly. You are
correct. The guy didn't even have heart. The guy didn't even have high blood pressure. Or history
nothing.
Of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just dropped dead at 53.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I say, they said, you know, and that's basically what it was. I believe when they built the buildings in the beginning, this was a plan from the beginning. When they built these buildings, they was rigged with explosives from the beginning.
Well, Brian,
you know
I want you to. Well, Brian, here's what I want. I want to talk to you a lot more when we get into the after show. We're going to get to the after show in 10 minutes, and I'm going to bring you back. Because I want to tell you guys a lot of stuff that I don't know if you know or not, but things that would either convince you of a conspiracy or make you think I'm a nut. But I'm going to bring some of this stuff up and see if you know about it, all right?
All right, that'll work.
All right, cool. I'm going to bring in Brian and the rest of you guys when we get into the after show. I'm going to see if I can bring in one more phone call going into the after show. I'm going to bring in my man, Jonathan. He's been waiting for a while. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, Tom?
Not much. Hey, all right, you got to tell us. I know you up there, you up north. You're in Jersey, right?
What's it again?
I said you're in Jersey, right?
No, I'm in New York.
Oh, you okay. That's so you were there. All right, tell us about what happened 2001, 9/11, with Jonathan.
Well, I can remember just about that whole day. I mean, I wasn't downtown, but I remember the day before or so, my sister had asked me to take her to the Bronx that morning for a job interview over on Allington Avenue. And I went to pick her up about, I'm going to say, 8:30 or so. And I used to listen to this show on one of the local stations, and the DJs were Star and Buck Wild. And I used to love those guys when they were on up here. And I remember Star saying that one of the towers had been hit. Now, that was like maybe 8:43 or somewhere in that neighborhood. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy, you know. And he was like, well, stay tuned and blah blah blah. So anyway, I picked my sister up and we get on the highway, and I hit a bump on the highway, and we got up to the Bronx, and I looked at my oil needle, and it said low, and I was like, wait a minute, I just did the oil. But I pulled over and I said, okay, well, there's the place you go, I need to check my car. And I look and I see a whole long ass thing of oil, and it turns out when I hit the bump, I had broke my oil pan.
Mm.
The oil leaked out, and I said, well, why should you go and do that? I'm going to see if I can go get some oil. And when I go, I'm walking, and I go inside, like, one of the diners. I can see, like people running, and like, hysterical, like, oh, my God. I go on, and I see the TV, and then they said the second tower had been hit. And I was like, well, shit, that wasn't an accident then. You know, because I thought maybe the first one was possibly an accident. When they said the second one got hit, I was like, wow. That's shit. So then now you start calling your people, the people, you know, that work in the area, couldn't get no phone signal, nothing. I mean, you see everybody trying to make phone calls, but, you know, since the towers were a place where, there was antenna, there was no calls, I guess, and then everyone's trying to use their phones at the same time.
Yeah.
So I went back, and my sister came out, and I bought, like, I'm going to say, about 7-8 quarts of oil. And I was like, we got to put this shit in here quick, man. This is a big-ass
because it's running right out.
Right. So I dumped it in the car. We were right by the highway. And I took off on the highway. And then we're coming back south to come to the city. You could see the towers. Just the smoke was just on fire. And I'm like, wow, look. I mean, it was just so real to see that. And then right before we get off, I see one of the towers start to fall. I'm like, oh, my God, you see that? It fell. And then my sister's like, oh, God. Oh, I mean, that's all she kept saying was, oh, my God, oh, my God. But we got off the highway, 149th and Bronx, because there's a bridge that goes from the Bronx to Manhattan right there. And the cops had it closed off. They weren't letting any cars come into the city. And I'm like, my car, man, this shit is leaking oil. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't let it. Like, just park anyway. Don't worry about getting a ticket. We're not concerned with that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I parked my car, and then we had to walk across the bridge to get home. And then I was worrying about getting my kids from school. It was a lot of scared and shaking people. People just trying to get home, just trying to get to their loved ones and stuff. I went and I got my kids from school. And then, of course, you know, when you get home, it's on CNN. And it's like on every channel. And they just kept showing. By the time I got home, the second tower had fallen. And they just kept showing that. And
now, what were your thoughts? Did at any point in time you thought I need to get the hell out of the city?
No, actually, I wasn't even really thinking about getting out of the city. I was just thinking about, I hope all my friends are safe, you know, because I still really couldn't get in contact with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just more concerned about trying to get to my family and making sure my friends were okay. And then I started thinking when I saw it, I said, well, I know those towers were built pretty good, because I know when you think about it, I think the terrorists were trying to hit the towers. Well, they would fall like dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
And had that happened, a lot more people would have died. But because they collapsed within themselves, that didn't happen. But when you think about it, okay, the fuel, obviously that's hot, and it melted the steel, but the planes hit so high up, so why did the buildings fall within themselves?
There you go.
The planes hit that high up. It's not like they hit, like, 7th or 6th floor, 5th floor.
Let me ask you something. You ever play football?
Yeah.
How do they tell you to tackle a man bigger than you? How do you get him to the ground?
You got to tackle him low. If you tackle him high, he gets run over.
You tackle him high, he's going to run over you, because that's typically, yeah, you got to knock down anything. When you're bringing down trees, you hit it at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somehow this damn building came down, and never in the history of man was a steel building ever brought down by fire. Yet it happened three times on one day.
Yeah. And we started thinking that. I was like, something's not right when it comes to that. You know, and I just figure if you got to sacrifice a few for the many, then you can just go ahead and say that. People will be mad. But don't sit here and tell me that them buildings just fell like that, because I'm not buying that.
Exactly. And then think about it this way. The one building, you know the second building that was hit fell before the first building, which was hit first?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make any sense. And like you said, it fell in upon itself, which to me, by anybody's estimation, kind of looks like a demolition.
Mm-hmm. I was telling that to a friend of mine. We were just talking about it, and I said, when an engineer comes in and he says, okay, to make this building fall, we got to plant explosives here, 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 and here. I wouldn't have to worry about that, because once they go, the whole thing's going to go, you know, because you hit the integrity of the building, and that's it. It's everything will fall. So.
And if you look at any video, you can see that it looks like there are little explosions. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views. I've had a good show, and we're going to continue into the after show. And if you want to be a part of the after show, you got about 30 seconds to call in. The number is 347-989-8310. We've been remembering 9/11, talking about where we were, what we were doing, and how it's changed our lives. And we're going to continue that. But the biggest thing I hope that you guys learn from this is, one, to respect the military and our fire and police, and also respect the freedoms that you have and do not allow activities to stop you from living your life. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you join us on Tuesday, where we're going to talk about the sin of obesity right here on Your World, My Views. And if you're not going to be a part of the after show, I'll say to you guys, good night. Damn, that was pretty good, wasn't it, Jonathan?
Absolutely, man. It was perfect, man.
Ah, and none of this stuff is scripted. I'm just talking. I mean, sometimes I get it right, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I say something ignorant. Well, most of the time I say something ignorant, but it worked out in this one. I would like to start off. I'm going to get back to you, Jonathan, let you finish telling your story, but let me bring in a couple people right now. I'm going to bring Virginia back in. I'm going to bring my man Tobias in. What's up, T?
Roll Tide.
Ah, yes, you guys sure did roll all over Penn State. Joe Paterno need to go somewhere and go to sleep.
Well, ain't lying. I thought you was asleep up there.
If he tired, be quiet and go to sleep.
But hang up the phone first so we don't hear you snoring.
Exactly. That's my girl Virginia right there. Let me see if I can bring in a couple more people to talk with us. Let me bring in Zania, and then I'll bring in James Brown. And then in a second, I'm going to bring in Fenton, Christy, and I'm going to get to all you guys. So, Brian, Aaron, you guys hold on. Let me bring in Aaron right now, too. But I'm going to get to the rest of you guys in just a second. Let me go back to Jonathan before I get to you, Tobias, if that's okay.
Oh, that's cool. It's your show, man.
All right, cool, dude. Cool, bitch. You know, it's Negroes on this line. I got to ask them, can I do my show? If it's okay with y'all, can I do this?
Hey, you got one white chick over here.
Oh, I got a few of them. No, I got a lot of them. I'm going to get to all you guys.
I'm going to get the white girl.
That's why I believe the show might go a little bit smoother. No.
I love the white girl.
But I want to go back to you, Jonathan. You were right there in the epicenter. You said you never thought about leaving. You said the only thing that you really thought about was the safety of the other people around you, which is, I guess, is that like a New York mentality that you guys don't scare easy? Is that it?
It's not that you don't scare. It's just, you know, you it's what, you know, it's what you're used to. It's like, you know, last few days that you've seen a high presence in police and, you know, the army and stuff. And someone asked me, they said, see all of these people around? They're talking about, you know, they want to attack us on the 10th anniversary. And I was like, you know, what else is new? You know, we've been dealing with this for 10 years.
I mean, you guys were dealing with it since 91.
Yeah. Listen, I was in the towers. I used to work for a bank many years ago, and we had to take classes in the World Trade Center. And I had to take the classes. This was like a few months after the first attack in 93. And I remember being upstairs and the alarm going off and people losing their damn minds. We got to get the hell up out of here. I don't know what's going on. You know, and they eventually said it's a test. No one be alarmed. But wasn't nobody trying to hear that? Tried to blow this building up from the bottom with a van full of explosives. You're not trying to get me to take a chance. You know, but now, the first thought of anything, like we had them little tremors up here,
mm-hmm.
and people were talking, oh my God, everyone's running out and running here and running there. That sometimes is the worst thing you could possibly do.
That's what a caller said earlier. He said, I'm more afraid of the scared people.
Right. Scared people is, you know, what you got, you know, because they run in scared. They're not thinking straight, and they'll take you with them, you know, and all you do is cause them panic. Now you're being run over by, you know, 20, 30 people, and you're like, wait, hold on, you know, but by then it's too late.
Because you guys were having the argument about with Rudy Giuliani and all that when they were talking about, okay, the hurricane is coming, you guys are leaving. Most of the New Yorkers were like, we ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I sure didn't leave. I didn't go nowhere. Only thing I said was, you know, we had I had a few candles, flashlights, canned food with the top lid. But I said, you know, I'm not trying to sound like an arrogant fuck, but where I live in Harlem, this shit just don't hit us like that. I remember the last time we got hit where anything bad really happened was, I think it was
Syphilis?
Hurricane Gloria. Oh, Hurricane Gloria. Oh, that's funny.
But it was. Am I not being truthful?
What was that response, Simon?
I said syphilis.
Oh, shit. Damn, Tommy, that's
yeah, we did have a little outbreak of that.
It was.
Yeah.
I'm not even being funny. That was.
Yeah, it's true.
It's funny to say.
Right
there. Yeah, it's the truth.
Now we used to take, you know, a lot of people don't like it here because things go fast, and you know, if you come from a small place, you get eaten up and all that, which is partly true if you're not smart, but. I lived my whole life here, so I've seen it all just about. And that when that hurricane came in 85, it knocked down, like I've seen a couple of trees knocked down and a few fences. But come on, all we do is get a lot of rain. And I was out, man, there was people still hanging outside Saturday night. And I was outside, I got drenched because I went to the store, get me some liquor. You know, in case the lights was out, I wouldn't have to think about it. But
and see, that's what I love. Like, I live, apparently we live in Tornado Alley. I didn't know this when we moved here. But I was shocked. I mean, everybody and all the black folks were running, get in the tub, the tornado coming. And I looked outside and I kept seeing all the white people out there. I said, you know what? Whenever drama happened, I'm following the white people.
It's funny that you say that because
they got
in Rockaway. They cleared the beaches, you know, they made everybody get it, you know, because the water, you know, the tide gets higher and the strong winds and stuff. There was people out there having hurricane parties. You know, they showed them in the back guy. They were talking.
Are you serious?
I guess that's why they don't take us serious, man. We don't take shit serious.
Oh, my
God. Hurricane party. They was like, yo, and they even interviewed some of the people. Yeah, we over here right here at this hotel having a few drinks and stuff, man. We having a good time. That's how we do it up here.
Everybody bought Hypnotic and Hennessy.
Yeah, I mean.
Come on, not that kind of hurricane, nigga.
Damn, sounds like y'all are more of a party town than Vegas.
Yes.
People out on the beach, on the sand, watching the waves come in with drinks in their hands. I'm like.
But here's what tickled me about some of those guys, though. Let me tell you this, Jonathan. Here's what tickled me about some of them guys up in New York. They were talking about it was in a harbor somewhere, and there was a white guy and his son. And they were like, well, you know, are y'all here getting ready to tie your boat down? He said, no, we're just going to stay in the boat.
Okay, Gilligan.
I did.
They're going to be all lost.
But what he said was he assumed that that'd be the best place to be if, you know, the water goes up and down and whatnot. They'd rather be on the water than be on land, get consumed by the water. And I was like, I see why you don't have no wife. You a dumbass.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Now, Tobias,
hey,
I'm going to go to the... Yeah, what's up, James? Well,
let me ask you a quick question, though. Why
go ahead, and then I'll go to Tobias.
The anniversary. You know, anniversary is a... supposed to be a good thing. We're celebrating this like, you know, that we
marriage
isn't work. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was about to say, a lot of people have a marriage anniversary, and that usually don't work out well.
Oh, anniversary is good.
Hell,
I mean,
some people celebrate divorce.
She's right. There's a lot of people got to have divorce anniversary. I saw a divorce party. Shit threw me off.
For the best kind. Now, shit, you know how happy you are? You're just as much happy as when you got married.
But that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, to be an anniversary is just what it says. You break it down, this is a yearly recognition of an event.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be happy. It doesn't have to be sad. It just has to happen yearly.
Yep.
And I think with what they're doing with 9/11 in terms of doing it as an anniversary is they're doing it in honor of those who lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
Virginia,
and
was I wrong for equating it to how the Jews look at the Holocaust? They don't talk about it every year and be like happy But what they're doing is making sure, again, their motto is never again, never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically halfway what's become the thing for 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
They celebrate
never again, never
tomorrow.
Forget.
Mm-hmm.
They celebrate tomorrow, but this whole month is 9/11. This is the 9th month of the 11th year.
Yeah.
Hey, there it is. See, you think deeper than me. I was just trying to make the show go past 12 o'clock so it could actually be a 9/11 show.
Hey, y'all feeling
it. I didn't. But when you talk about it, and I know you're out there in Arizona, Tobias.
Tobias, yeah.
Yeah, I man, I've been smoking now, but you've been out there in, you're out there in Arizona, Tobias.
Yeah.
You're out there in Arizona. How did it hit you guys out there? I mean, it's 9/11.
Oh.
It's probably still 100 degrees out there. Y'all probably will still sleep.
Actually, I didn't join. Like, I'm from Alabama, actually. Land opportunity, of course, opportunity to leave.
What did they say the best?
I think I'm breaking up over there. I can barely hear you.
Didn't they say the best thing that came out of Alabama was?
Yeah.
Was what?
Interstate 20.
Breaking up.
I think your phone's breaking up, Tommy.
I don't know, man.
You got pretty close that time, Tommy. You said the best thing come out of Alabama was.
See y'all.
So we didn't hear the end of that.
See, this sucks. I'm up here kicking jokes and thinking they hilarious.
That's funny. Yeah, we can't hear you, dude.
I was about to cut all y'all off. Y'all don't want to laugh at my jokes. Fuck all y'all.
You
ungrateful bastards.
That ain't even good, Tommy, but the punchline, we can't get it.
He said,
you ungrateful. You ingrate.
Don't if you can't. We can't hear him.
You know what I'm saying? Let's try this shit again.
Yeah.
He was pretending.
Fuck the joke now. The shit ain't funny at all anyway. Nigga, I went and Googled my joke and found the joke. This what he meant.
Oh, shit.
I hear that.
Damn it. Shit,
man.
Y'all
crazy, man.
Anyway, Tobias, you were out there, and you would say you were in Alabama when it happened. When it happened, did you? Like I said, I looked at it. I envisioned it like Orson Welles' War of the World. And I keep describing it like that because it seemed like that's what it would have been. You would have assumed, hey, okay, this has got to be another one of those, right?
Yeah, see what happened. I'm not gonna lie. I woke up, getting ready to go to my shit job. Cause I actually enlisted in the Air Force like a month before it happened. I was just waiting, leaving December. So I thought it was a movie at first. So of course, like, oh, this shit's real. So I filled my gas tank up. They're thinking, oh, people are there trying to gouge gas prices, which didn't happen. That was a crackhead trying to charge for the pump gas in the car for him. But the thing is, but it's like with this whole 9/11. First things first, people. While y'all waving y'all flag, look behind it and see it's made in China. That's where it's made. also, now, since I'm still in the Air Force for the next year, so getting the hell out of here. But the thing is, after that bit in, this is what happens. I learned a lot by doing independent reading and listening. And one, America, the average American voter is dumbed down. Let's just be real. So they don't, all they do is see emotion and fear. Because the thing is, one, my main job is to refuel aircraft from jet fuel. Mind you, a 747 at one time to carry 30 to 40 plus thousand of jet fuel. Yes. So guess what? Last time I checked, that'd be a lot of black area. There won't be no land left for 40,000 gallons of jet fuel blew up. Just keep it real.
Yeah, you're fucked.
So you're in the Air Force. Perfect person to ask. You know about planes. You fuel them.
Yeah.
Did that look like any damn airplane crash site in Pennsylvania that you've ever seen where there's this little divot in the damn ground?
They shot that motherfucker.
Hell no. They shot that fucker down. Right.
I believe that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what, Tommy? I'll say this. One, right before the attack happened, the Bin Laden family got sent out. got fucking powerless to deal with a black man can't open a lemonade stand here. Fucking resist.
People make horrible terrorists because, one, they like living too damn much. Two, you see what happened when they let that nigga on the plane. This fool up here trying to light his shoe on fire.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Tommy, I say they got to get other people. Since I've been in, see, the thing about dumb down people, thing is, they talking about getting Saddam Hussein. Did you say the motherfucker from Afghanistan? And the thing is, you killed him already, obviously, very quickly. We still over there. And just think about this. I will say this. One, let's be real. You only fight terrorism with intelligence. They use the fear and the dumbed down of Americans to push their agendas to control oil.
And how about this one? Here's the one that everybody misses. Not even controlling oil. How about just controlling and pushing through the agendas that they wanted to go through? You see how hard Barack Obama's having to get the Congress to do anything? Do you see how easy President Bush had it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Tommy, I tell you this, Tommy. I was deployed to the Middle East a couple of times, obviously. That's one reason we're going to get the fuck out of here. but the thing is, I was in Qatar, for example. We were able to go downtown, and they made a mean-ass steak and Applebee's. But anyway, you go downtown, you see these skyscrapers being built. One, the gas is like 40 cents a gallon over there. The skyscrapers being built for all American names. Dick Cheney had over $100+ million deal lined up with Halliburton right after the attack. See, I'm telling you, I tell people they put too much faith in their government.
Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, think about it this way, and I feel bad for you guys, Tobias. You guys are over there fighting for our country. Yeah, and I remember one of the military men saying, I'm standing beside a dude. He said, well, I'm making maybe $100, $200 a day. He said, this guy is making $5,000 a day, and I'm protecting his ass.
It's ridiculous. No, I tell you this, Tommy. When I was in Qatar, this is one of the reasons. I'm actually one of the smart people that's getting education, using them, and don't get some disability out of it, too. Yeah. That's right. Fuck them.
God bless you. That's right. You're doing everything that you need to do. Yeah,
because I say this, two things. First, with the military, you got to get what you can out of them because you're nothing but a number. You're a body. Couple things to that. Yeah. They actually cut manning in the military for cost, but the deployment tempo still hasn't changed. But with that being said, I was over there. The goddamn bus driver was like doing a drove a bus around the base. Listen to old school R&B making 80 to 100,000. You know, like, what the hell?
Weren't some people, Tommy, just recently given orders that they were going to deploy?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, I
wouldn't know. That's Christy out of up in the D.C. area.
Sorry.
That's Christy.
D.C.
Oh, I bet there were people that just got orders that they were going to be deployed.
Because I just received an email
from over there anytime soon.
Yesterday or the day before, saying that there was going to be more deployments.
And here's the thing too, I want to say to you guys, for all you Barack Obama supporters. Remember, he told you that we weren't going to be fighting any more war. We're going to bring the boys home in 18 months.
Well,
he brought them home so he could send them somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Get this, Tommy. I tell you, when I was a guitarist, the base that time I was there, they had a 125-year deal contract to stay over there. What are you going on over there, people?
Y'all misheard and misremembered. He meant 1,800 months they're coming home.
And y'all know what, though? And the people overseas, they see through that shit. And since I'm black, they like talking to me. They don't talk to no white people here. They don't talk to them. But they talk to me all day, you know, have some tea and crumpets with them. They tell me all this stuff that's really going on. All right, they got a 125-year deal here?
They feel a kinship with black people because they be like, well, the only people take a dick better than them is us.
And you know what? That's how the economy can be fixed if you end this meaningless war. It's like billions of dollars already spent in meaningless wars. And that's and they support the troops, like I said. The deployment tempo hasn't changed yet, but yet the mission at the home station hasn't changed, but the manning's been cut.
All right, okay, okay. I gotta ask. I gotta let Aaron jump in there because Aaron's another a military man. Aaron, you there?
Yeah, what's up?
All right, Aaron, you heard a military man, damn black man. He his experience don't seem like it was as good as yours, and he doesn't seem to be as patriotic as you. But does he have a point in what he's saying when he's saying a lot of what's going on is so much politics and that they really aren't taking care of the soldiers who are taking care of our freedoms?
One, I would like to say, what I would do to not been deployed to Afghanistan. And on the other hand, he is right. You're just a number. Like, all the shit that you go through just to get a fucking paycheck. And then with the whole Congress about to shut down, like, at one point the military was looking at not even getting a check. Like, with me being married, I cared a lot, but I was like, man, if I was single, I wouldn't care. But with my TRICARE and my benefits and everything for my family, it kind of really, like, irritated the fuck out of me.
I'm with you on that, Aaron. Why do you think, I mean, to me, and a lot of my staff is military, and I didn't know it about it. Of course, here's the thing. It's like with all the people who were saying, well, 9/11, we should forget it, whatever. If you have something invested in it, you don't forget. And the people who are on my staff who were military were pissed off saying, how the fuck can we even be an option to not get paid? Was that what you were thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking, and then all of a sudden the sergeant major goes, well, we're in a volunteered army, and then at that one point we had probably half of the battalion on their little Facebook accounts updating their statuses on saying how if they don't get paid tomorrow, everyone's just going to go AWOL and not show up for work, and I was like, holy shit, and that was probably half of the army right there that was saying that shit up here at Fort Drum. I was like, oh, my God.
So they actually said to your face that you guys are volunteers. They actually said that outright?
Mm-hmm. And it's true because it is on the contract, but at the same time, it's kind of a bullshit if you got, like, you know, a wife and a one-year-old at home, you know, relying on, you know, the TRICARE and shit like that, which is now a joke due to this whole Obamacare.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And they all retirement too.
I'd like to answer that question about who should get the credit for the capture and killing of
go ahead. I'll let you, James, because to me that's a bullshit question. Let me say this. Let me preface it. It's a bullshit question if we are supposed to be Americans and whatnot. After all those lives have been lost, for you to fight over who should get the credit of who killed this man is stupid,
amen,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely.
Well, my point, who I think, I mean, be honest, I'm simply say it. Like, one president would jump on TV and say, we coming in there at 4 o'clock Friday, we going to capture your ass. And the next man, you see him after fact taking pictures with his staff, making plans. We didn't know a damn thing about it until after it was happening. That's how you handle your business. That's what you get the credit.
Well, you know, and I'll say this, too. It was funny. George Bush just got in a damn jumpsuit, jumped on a damn aircraft carrier, talking about some big-ass banner like they just won the homecoming game. Mission.
Exactly.
Mission accomplished. And I was like, dude, who told you that you can beat terror by dropping a few bombs? Who told him that?
How do you defeat the Taliban when they didn't have a fucking army? There were civilians out there just fighting back with rocks and shit, motherfucker. We out there with...
Excuse this.
You know,
break
like,
it down to its simplest form. How do you defeat an idea? Terror is an idea.
Exactly.
Well, how do you defeat an idea when people aren't afraid to die for it?
Thank you.
Exactly.
You can.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the weapons we gave them in our old airplanes we gave the other countries.
Thank you.
Woo!
For the people who don't know, I love history lessons, and people understand. We got a smart group of black and white and Hispanics right here online.
Thank you, Tommy, for including me in
that. Hey, I gotta give props to my own people. I mean, come on.
Okay,
half the time, I'd be the only one on here can speak Spanish.
I don't ocho cinco.
I wanted to do a Spanish-speaking show, but then I wanted to have fans, so I just stopped. But no,
Let me know, I can translate for you.
But here's where the intelligence come in. Mm-hmm. We know, as somebody yelled out, Oliver North, There's a little thing called Iran-Contra.
Uh-huh.
And in Iran-Contra, we hired a little small group of people to go in and fight for us.
Mm-hmm.
And those people back then had a good name, and they called them the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
And we armed
them.
And
they got a bad name.
Yes, we armed them to the teeth. Last I checked, am I right, Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you are.
But you got the name incorrect, though. During the Soviet time, it was called the Mujahideen, and the Taliban didn't really become the Taliban until they killed off all the leadership of the government of Afghanistan as well as the Mujahideen organization.
You're exactly right. And here's the problem.
It had to be
in. Yeah, here's the problem with what happened. We do that in a lot of places. We tried it in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
We sent those people in the Bay of Pigs. We're gonna take them out and replace the government with quote unquote our government. We did it with dadgummit, the guy in Libya.
Muammar
Gaddafi.
Yes, we did this. So here's what we do: we put these people in. We did it with Saddam Hussein.
It's just people in our government who is not wanting to look at our past history and learn from it. They are basically repeating history over again and not learning from it.
But guys, I think it's all a game. What you don't understand is we're all pieces on a chessboard, and half the time it's just checkers, and we still don't get it. We are pieces on a board, and we are expendable. Aaron is expendable. Tobias is expendable. Yeah, the Soulja Boy, I don't know what the hell he is. He might be. But Soulja Boy gets
it.
I'll put it to you this way, guys. Out of all of us, and we're talking and we're very knowledgeable, Soulja Boy might get it more than we do.
You know what?
Let me tell you why.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because at the end of the day, we are the ones who are in harm's way. The people who were in the building on 9/11, they were in harm's way and didn't know it. We are talking about things and we know certain things, but our lives aren't being enriched by this knowledge. His stupidity is getting him a $55 million jet. My knowledge is getting me a damn number 3 for McDonald's, hopefully, if they ain't closed when the show over.
Tommy, can I say something, please?
Go ahead,
sure.
Dog.
I want to say this, that he may be getting money right now for his ignorant ass. I can't call it music. I can't call it rap. Nothing.
I agree.
Really, I can't because
I can't even call it free speech because dumbasses is paying for him to say it.
Thank you. It's not free.
It's called rambling.
Because you got to pay to listen to his shit.
Exactly.
So,
you got to pay to listen to that lyrics.
But you know what? When it all comes down to it, I don't care who. It's not that I don't care, but Allah, God, whatever people want to believe, okay, is that when it comes down to it, you have to answer for everything. Whoever you answer to.
Another thing is the money he's making, he can't take with him.
Exactly. And you know what? I hope he doesn't get shit.
Right. Now, y'all remind me of my broke Panamanian grandmother.
I'm broke as shit.
That's what I'm saying. Broke people always talk about. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute.
I'm telling you, I'm broke.
But what I'm saying is, broke people always talk about the afterlife. Some shit they can't prove to you.
Oh no, I'm just talking about when your day's done. Okay.
Yeah, that's the afterlife.
No.
Okay. We all know Tommy likes football, right?
I could be wrong.
Football. But what if, I'm going to use this for example, though. Y'all was talking about Bin Laden. Now, listen, what if you step away one night and say, I want to pick one of you all to fill in for me while I watch the football game? You know how fucked up this show would be? That's the same thing I'm trying to say about Bin Laden. We killed that head. We had him predictable, though. But now you got some loose heads out there running the damn Taliban. You don't know what the hell they might do. You know what I'm saying? It's more dangerous now with Bin Laden gone.
Anytime you get rid of the head of something, it's more. Okay, here's a perfect example. Martin Luther King had Negroes pretty much under wrap by telling them don't do blah, blah, blah. What happened after he got shot?
Crazy.
Pandemonium.
Thank
no
you.
No violence.
Negroes out of control. Now, they weren't smart because they were burning their own shit, and I still don't get that one. It wasn't a nigga. It wasn't a Negro in Hollywood.
That's where all
thinking,
the
how the hell
was
you
at,
burning
Tommy?
Down Watts again?
That's where all the guards was at. Shit.
You're going to burn something, go to Hollywood. Yeah, you're going to burn your own shit down.
Thank you. You've seen the movie
you know,
with
they're probably
Vivica Fox?
Think along the lines of the Holocaust. Because if you think about it, Hitler, when we took him out, the Nazis just started breaking down, and they're probably were trying to think, yeah, let's repeat history in terms of what happened with Hitler. Hitler
but you remember, Hitler
head.
Actually
he
had a military. The Nazis,
Nazis
were a military force.
And he had a good plan.
Yeah.
And Hitler screwed himself. He tried to fight a two-sided war, but I don't want to go into that.
But I'm just
God.
Saying, if you
that's
think about it,
story.
That's all we're doing is we're repeating history
yes.
in terms of not learning from it. Well,
but
what
I mean is I think we're repeating this history on purpose.
In terms of killing bin Laden, is they were trying to do the same thing in terms of what happened with them. Hitler, once he was killed, the Nazis just started, the whole regime just started breaking down, and we were actually winning that. Well, but it's not going to be the same with bin Laden.
Well, let me tell you something about Hitler. Hitler and polio are two things that are just alike.
Mm-hmm.
They're the last things that the United States have ever put its mind together and stopped.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't stopped any other diseases since polio. We haven't stopped any other dictator or any other anything since Hitler. That's it. Because what they realize is stopping a force like this stops the military industrial. FDR, was it FDR? Was it? No, Eisenhower. Dwight D. Eisenhower. Before he came in, but when he left office, and Aaron, you know this, right? What did he say is the biggest fear that Americans need to fight against?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I'm gonna take a hot shot with this. It's like, I want to say it's along the lines of ourselves.
Yeah, the military-industrial complex is what he said.
Yeah.
A lot of money in that.
Well,
yeah, exactly. He said we don't need
yourself.
To fight against communism. He broke it down, and I know they was pissed at him when he said that. You know, old white men, when they get old and they get ready to go, they say what the fuck on their mind. That's why I like them.
Right.
Yeah, even the man said I did it.
Why don't you just say it while
you're
here?
My dad his whole life.
No, you don't say it while you still got that job. But have you noticed when they fire a white man, he tell everybody to suck his dick?
Like a dude at University of Miami.
Oh, yeah. I said what I thought.
Yeah,
but
Dick
you know,
Cheney.
Know,
Dick, Cheney said they don't call me Dick for nothing. See, what I'm saying is, what happened was Eisenhower said, look, let me just tell these people the truth. I've been in government long enough to be able to tell these people the truth. But they dumbass listen, which is obvious we didn't.
They didn't.
This is a speech you can go to YouTube and hear. He said, we don't need to be in, he said, it's not racism. It's not classism. He kept naming out them isms because, you know, in the 50s, it was a bunch of fucking isms.
Isms. everything
had an ism.
Yeah,
everything had an ism because that's how they wanted to scare you. And all the way up into the 80s, you know, it was the big red scare and communism and all that. He said none of that is what we need to fear as Americans. He said the military-industrial complex. And for people who don't know what that is, it's that people are making money off war. And if you start putting in government, in high places in government, people who also have stock, Dick Cheney, in war machines.
Mm-hmm. And rebuilding, construction companies.
And the reason he knew it was because, when Truman dropped the atomic bombs, he didn't have to. The war was already over. But do you know why they did it? Because
it worked.
Yes, to see if it worked. And there's this little thing called the Manhattan Project that we spent billions of dollars on.
Yep, sure did.
If we did the Manhattan, it's hard to hear a black man with this kind of intelligence. It sucks.
Talk to me, boy. Talk to me.
No, keep talking because, yeah, absolutely. Keep going.
Yeah, but think about it. Go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead, Aaron. I don't like talking about the military when I got a military man who can tell me if I'm lying or telling the truth. Go ahead.
See, the thing that probably killed me is because I planned on doing the military in my career, But recently, with the war dying down, which hence money is going to war, and the unemployment rates even going higher, the government is doing a thing where they're downgrading people. So now they're saying to me is, hey, you know, you're promotable, but if you don't get your promotable status within your contract expires, then we got to kick you out. So that kind of like irritated me right there a little bit on half and half of that. Because you think about it, because it's pretty much like getting fired from the civilian sector, it seems like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tobias, you go ahead and talk about that, too.
Okay.
No, I think this might be one of the few wars that actually have lost us, jobs. If you think about it, because we went into the Great, because if you think about it, we went into the Great Depression, and all through the Great Depression, we had nothing but low jobs, like no jobs, whatever. The second the U.S. joined World War II.
It was one. Because the stock market crashed to 29.
It doesn't matter which one it is. Either way, we joined the war. As soon as we joined the war, our jobs went up. But
you remember what happened then, too? That was the start of feminism.
War, though, and we start losing jobs. This is the
only
war that have lost us jobs.
See, World War One was the start of feminism, and a lot of people don't know that. That was the start of feminism. What happened was all our boys were overseas. So the women had to do the jobs that the men left.
Right.
And at that point, they said, fuck that. When the men came back, they said, we want to keep on working.
You know what, though? I'll say this, a couple of things. First, I was messing with you, and I was saying, you started speaking of intelligence. I was like, hey, usually black folks speak for this hoax called a Willie Lynch letter, and they believe in the booger woogie and the boogeyman, and they get a monster in the closet. But the thing is, first, JFK did not want to do the Federal Reserve Bank. He didn't want to sign off on it. Well, consequently, he was riding a car in Dallas, Texas, and got picked off. A couple weeks later, his successor signed it. Sorry for it. You know,
right. Think about this. Well, look at it this way. He was de-escalating. He was de-escalating.
That's the word.
Amount of the people that were going over in Vietnam. This is you guys can look it up. Literally, his successor, Lyndon Baines,
Johnson.
Lyndon Baines Johnson came in, reversed the complete order that he had, and sent over initially 100,000 troops, and yet still never declared a war. Everybody always talk about Vietnam War.
That's true.
We never declared war.
You know what it seems like, Tommy? You know what it seems like? I hate to say this, but I will say it. What? It's like we're doing the same thing like Hitler and these other guys are done. We're trying to take over the world. That's what it seems like. Because we're trying to, it's like this. Saddam Hussein was not bothering us. You know, he couldn't stand us, but he wasn't bothering us. He did not provoke us to go down there and take him out.
Hey, this is a part, Tobias, it's all a parlor trick. It's like you remember when you were little and everybody was playing either cowboys and Indians or whatever it was y'all played. Y'all black
Cops
people, y'all might have played thugs and whatever what y'all played.
Throw dice. I used to do that, and I'm Mexican.
That's messed up. A Mexican playing cowboys and Indians. That don't make sense.
No, I'm Mexican. And I thought
y'all need to be playing cowboys and
I
Mexicans.
Tell me, please. I'm Mexican. I'm American, and I.
I'm saying, but y'all need to be playing cowboys and
dice.
Mexicans. Y'all don't need to play the Indians. Y'all got ran off y'all turf too.
No, we got enough Indians that we have. D.C. shooting dice.
But here's the thing. What I mean by a parlor trick is this. Those people all work together. You remember when you were little, when you were playing games, and half the time y'all all was switching sides. You remember walking around with the super soaker, and next thing you know, the person who was helping you shoot somebody is now shooting you.
Yep.
Traitors.
This is what's happening. Go through our history. The big people in charge are always making deals and breaking deals. Making deals and breaking deals. Friends and foes.
And
all we see is
trustworthy. That's why politicians are some of the worst people in the world to trust.
Amen.
Right.
You cannot trust a politician. Even if they're not even talking politics, you cannot trust what they're saying because you never know. Are they going to tell the truth or not?
Look at your boy out in Texas right now, Governor Rick Perry.
Oh, shit.
Rick Perry used to be a fucking Democrat.
Hey, now, that's my boy right there.
He's a cool person if you like him, but do you remember he used to be a Democrat? He literally voted along Obama's line. He was a liberal.
He was Al Gore's chief of staff.
Oh, shit, right. Al Gore. Another kid.
He was Al Gore was running for president. He was his fucking writer or chief of staff or some shit. Okay.
Exactly. So just go look at his record. My thing is.
A freaking joke. Oh
yeah, it's the equivalent of having Eddie Long tell you don't be gay and then you find out that's all he been.
Oh, shit. And now he a front runner for the Republicans. Ain't that some shit?
Y'all don't want to
became
governor of California. Okay, so talk about dumbing up.
Yeah, California. California voted the motherfucking Terminator.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was not happy about that at all. I was so
Why
other than Reagan, who didn't exactly do the best job in the world as president anyway?
Exactly. But if you listen to Republicans, and that's the thing. If you listen to Republicans, if you listen to Republicans, Ronald Reagan was the second coming? I mean, every
I don't believe all that, but I was very young when Reagan was president.
Reagan, and I will give Reagan some credit.
I would
at the same time. Yeah, because
he was he was a better president than some of the presidents that we've had.
Yeah, during the 6 years,
God.
He knew what the hell was going on. But you know, the last two, he didn't know what the hell was going on.
Oh, hell no. No, he didn't.
Oh, he did have
that shit. But I think we knew more about what was going on in the country than we do now.
Yeah, people don't realize the last 2 years of President Reagan, the last 2 years of when President Reagan was in office, he was not running the country.
What was that about, Tommy?
Because he had that damn dementia and Alzheimer's.
That come from that dude shooting his ass. That was Tommy,
you take a bullet like that, all I'm saying is.
Let me ask you an honest question. Now, this has got something to do with politics, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because Barack Obama ran for president and won, I don't even know dude's name, but why did that black guy thinking that they going to really.
You talking about my. This is my radio station, buddy. I work. Hold on a minute.
Yeah,
I work with Harmon Cain in WSB,
man.
So he's a friend of mine.
Yeah, I understand it, Tommy, but still, do he honestly think they're going to let him run up against two black guys?
Well, hold on a second. Let me tell you what the Republicans are doing.
Happen,
hold on a second. Let me tell you what Republicans are doing. And I talked to my friend David Limbaugh and Rush Limbaugh a lot, and we talk about this.
You
and basically, here's the words from Rush Limbaugh. We are in reach mode. We are in search of someone. And when you're in search of someone, you'll take anyone. These are Rush Limbaugh's words. I couldn't believe he said it that simply, but think about it. He's right.
I believe
if you're in reach mode.
Simple.
Yeah, if you're in reach mode and if you don't have anyone, you'll take anything. Their best candidate, honestly, is Mitt Romney. But then Mitt Romney's got that damn one thing. His biggest flaw is this. Mitt Romney has that damn Mormon on his back.
You'll never know which one going to come out. He got four different personalities. That motherfucker going to have up in war one day and then fool the next.
But what I'm saying is, here's the problem. You remember JFK was they were like, he was an Irish Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have one of them as president.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The Mormons, once you see what happened with Warren Jeffs, it's like when you hear a Mormon, you just think of four wives.
Right.
Young kids.
Well,
that's
what I think
of. 8 to 10, actually.
Yes.
I think of BYU. Hey, Tommy, can I say this, Tommy?
All right, Steve Young.
Hey, don't get the American voters being dumbed down. Most Americans do not vote on a person's policy. It's like this. They thought, oh, he's a Mormon. Who cares? I don't care the guy.
You're right. A lot of stuff.
I don't
vote
care what his religion is, just as long as he doesn't get a job.
It shouldn't matter because all of them are hypocrites.
They all keep their wives going through an intern. And get this. I bet it's also. Look what people talk about. This is how dumbed down Americans are talking about. But Republicans are smart in this as well. Somehow, Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, could get this coal miner in West Virginia who lost his job. Hey, you're just like me. They're going to take your taxes. They're going to take your guns. Oh, yes, they're taking your taxes, but theirs aren't getting taken. The rich people ain't paying no taxes.
people don't understand a lot of stuff. A lot of people don't understand a lot of stuff. Like, okay, here's my problem with Democrats.
Tommy.
Yeah, Wimp.
I'll give you 1 second, Aaron, but here's my problem with Democrats. Democrats can tell black people what the fuck to do, and they just do it. Black people have no thought process. Okay, here's what a black person does when he go in a voting booth. He just sit up there and press D all the way down.
Yeah.
And you know that shit do not count.
That's the stupidest shit in the world. You literally have no idea who these people are. You just voted D all the way down.
Yeah, that's true.
And let me tell you something else, black people, how Democrats feel about you since they tell you Republicans don't like you. Democrats don't either because they take your vote for granted. They know that's what you're going
to
do.
And they go to the areas.
I'd rather be told by Republicans that we don't want you than have a Democrat tell me I'll take it for granted. Ask a woman who's been married and say have her husband take her for granted, and she'll tell you how that marriage worked out, how great she felt to be taken for granted.
I say that you
doesn't even have
welfare.
To be a marriage. Take any relationship.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
No,
nobody
from all off. Say let's do away with welfare.
Let's do away with the two-party system. How about that?
Yeah.
George,
that's the dumbest shit ever.
A long time ago.
That's
George,
not American.
Let's go back to the way it used to be when Washington first became president.
Yes.
First off, you got
to serve in the military because it's hard for you to be the – how can you be the commander-in-chief? Think about it. Our last, two, three commanders-in-chief ain't served?
Yeah. Hey, George Washington wrote about the two-party system messing up America a long time ago. He wrote about it.
And we all need to say our forefathers. That's why I'm doing the show about should blacks be proud Americans. They are your forefathers. Everybody there, no matter how they got there, because blacks be killing me anyway, talking about they Christians, yet you still don't want to forgive white people for slavery when the white people that you work around didn't have nothing to do with slavery. They didn't do it.
I've been having that put on me for a long ass time.
I can hear you. Who's that? Go ahead.
I gave
Fenton.
You.
I've just been listening.
Oh, Fenton. Yeah. Hey, girl, I'm sorry. I've just been going out. I tell you what, Finn, I give me 2 seconds. Let me, because Aaron wanted to say something, then I will let.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I'll let Aaron say something. I'll let Virginia finish, and then I'll go to you. Go ahead, Aaron.
Okay. The way that the political system needs to work is like this. Straight up, America needs a reset like this. Hennessy and Guinness, and life will be perfect. All right.
Amen. I got the vodka going on over here.
I'm with him. We need to hit a reset button. And at a certain point in time, I remember the old Nintendo. You know, when your boy was whooping your ass in Turbo, in Tecmo Bowl, you just slipped up and pressed that reset?
Absolutely.
And then you pissed off because you hit the reset?
What's happening right now is the government's kicking all of our middle class to lower class asses. It's kicking our ass.
Put your money into the independent party, but people got to actually support those people that actually run and caring about the people. We don't research and see people running for it. You got independent like Ralph Perot.
Do you know what, though? What happens? Mainstream.
You people.
The media. Wait a minute.
Oh,
the media will always make somebody with a new idea seem crazy. That's the best way to get rid of them. You just make them seem crazy. Have you noticed everybody in the independent party, they just made them out to be crazy? Think about this. Well, think about this. The guy who, and I can't remember his name, he's the DNC president. He's the DNC president of DNC now. But he, all he said was,
Ding.
Yeah, Howard Dean.
Yeah.
All he said was,
I remember
that. They were throwing up
at the one. Wait a minute. He went from being the number one. He was the number one guy.
Front runner. He was the front runner.
Having to buy out in 2 months later, all because he said, "Bitch."
That was hilarious, yeah.
Virginia, what do you want to talk about? You want to address what I said about this whole idea of black people still, we claim we Christians, but we still want to hold white people to slavery.
I've had a lot of black people being like pissed off at me for absolutely no reason. They have no idea who I am or anything like that. I just come to them one day and ask them, why the hell are you so pissed off at me? Why do you hate me so bad? They're like, because of the fact that your ancestors took our people from our land that we were on to begin with and turned us into slaves and brought us here.
You should have said,
you know how I respond? I'll tell you. Let me tell you something, Virginia.
But you weren't responsible for that. You didn't do it.
Exactly. That's what I don't understand.
That is how
I
feel.
Tell them. Tell them you didn't do it. Your grandparents did it. And keep
that's
walking.
Right. And your great-grandparents.
I'm like, my great-grandparents did that to you.
I'm like, did I?
Do
was
not
I there?
Put that on me.
Now, here's
not.
What you ought to say to them. Here's
I mean,
what
that's like telling. I mean, that's like a whole Star Trek thing for me. There, in terms of like Klingons or whatever, because Klingons in Star Trek. No, seriously, Klingons on Star
together.
Trek. And when it comes,
they
to,
have a hive
the,
mind.
If the father of a family in the Klingon race, if their father did a crime against Klingons, the whole family, any of their kids, had to take the repercussions from it as well.
Got
yeah,
to love
it's
Virginia
like the
with
same
the Klingon
thing doing to me.
Analogy.
Well, here's what I would say. Here's what I would say to him, because I always said one of the things, if I ever get three wishes, one of them is going to be white for 24 hours.
Oh, God.
Because the first
thing
I do is run around calling everybody black niggas. I'd be like, excuse me, nigga, can you tell me what time it is? Because I would love to see how a word affects people. Because I no, because I've never.
I hate
okay, when
word,
I call
actually.
A nigga a nigga, he don't get mad. He say, what's up?
I actually hate that word. That is a very
no, but I just
want
to see how a word can make somebody react like that, because I don't have a word I can say to somebody.
No, I don't like that word because of the negative connotation.
Yeah, but I still want to be able to say it for 24
it
hours.
It only
oh, no. I mean, yeah.
Niggers. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, I just want 24 hours just being said. I just want to see how somebody reacts. But I want to do. I want to say this, too. But what you need to say, Virginia, is this. Anytime they tell you, y'all took my ancestors from where we came from and from our own land, just look at them and tell them like I tell those people from New York that come to Atlanta, talking about they don't like it. I always tell them, Delta is ready when you are.
Yep.
What's up, Fenton?
I just got to say this. If we think that African-American people are going to, all African-American people are going to ever be able to forgive and forget slavery.
I don't think you should forget it. But
no,
what are you talking about? Wait a minute.
Say.
I don't think you should forget it. But what are you talking about forgiving when it didn't happen to you?
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing about it's not. I don't think it's.
I mean, it's
really
the same thing with me. Like, why should I
listen? I don't think it's the slavery that the people have the problem with. I think that is the problem, that the racism that continues to be perpetuated, that's post slavery.
But hold on. Let me say this to you, and there's no offense to anyone. And I remember when I said it was controversial and people got mad and they were having Roland Martin write messages to me, fuck him.
Oh, you know what? Tell them to fucking suck it up.
Exactly. But here's what I said. I said white people, if you just want to look at possessions and stuff, white people got on a fucking boat, came all the way across the half the world, not knowing what was over here, got over here, start kicking motherfuckers' asses that they ran into. Took
exactly.
over the land.
Exactly what I was saying earlier.
Hold on, let me finish.
Go ahead.
They took over
the
land, kicked everybody's ass, then
yes,
brought our asses over here to help them work it, to help them build
yes.
it.
Yes.
Which means exactly
they
what
did
I was
all
saying
that.
Earlier.
Hold on, if they did all that, why is it their job when, think about it, we were given our freedom with the Emancipation Proclamation. We didn't fight for it. We didn't do like them other countries do. We were given our freedom. Then we were given our right to vote in 1968. We didn't fight for that either. It wasn't no uprisings. It wasn't no niggas up in Washington with guns shooting. They were given that too. Why is it now you want them in land that they fought for? They actually fought against each other in the Civil War. Brother against brother, killing each other over states' rights. Why should they automatically make us as equal as them at any point in time when we didn't fight for nothing?
Okay, well, this is my take on the whole thing about since we've gone all the way from 9/11 to this.
Yeah, I got something to say when you're done.
Conversation leading to another.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, that's okay, but I feel that African Americans actually should be extremely happy that they were brought to America.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Right.
And
not to put
on
in people's face.
Let her finish.
my take on that is because, you know, you'll hear some black people say, well, we were kings and we were queens and we were all of this in Africa. Now, I don't really know what my heritage was. I know I'm African-American.
Yep.
I don't know that my family was a king and queen. Some people over in Africa, if you look at them right now, they're not faring too well.
And let me say this, Finn, before you finish. Let me say this to you. I hate that. I remember when I was little, they had them stupid-ass Bart Simpson shirts that say, I come from King and Queen, dude. It was the stupidest shit. Cause, this is me as a young man. That's what let everybody know. He's going to be a Republican. This is what let me realize something wasn't right. I said, if we came from kings and queens, and all those black people saying we were the original man, white people came from us, then this shit, what we in right now, should be embarrassing.
Well,
we should be embarrassed that we became slaves when we ran everything. Am I right?
Everybody was not a king. Everybody was not a king or queen.
I know,
there's
but what I'm saying
one.
Is if we rule the world like they claim we do, if they claim Jesus was black, if they claim the original Jews was black, shouldn't we be embarrassed that we've fallen this far from grace?
Well, I don't really know that all of that was true, but I do
I'm
know
just
this,
saying.
I believe that God, just like the Israelites, okay, well, that's your take on it. Just like the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians in the Bible days, and they were freed, I believe that God used, somebody may not believe in that, but this is my take on it, that God actually used that to bring some of us out of Africa so that we could have opportunities. Now,
that's what I was about to say. If all y'all black people believe in God and believe that God did everything for a purpose, then you wouldn't be mad at white people. You'd be mad at God, wouldn't you?
Well, the thing about it is I believe that it was used for a greater purpose for us.
That's
what
I'm saying.
White people.
I don't understand being mad at white people and then being Christian. That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard. You mad at people who didn't do nothing to you. They didn't do nothing to you personally. They enslaved people you never met and know nothing about.
But you know what? All black people are not Christians. Black people have a lot of different religions. And
that's why I said if you're black and Christian. That's why I said if you're black and Christian.
If you're black and then Christianity in itself.
Is it silly for a black person to practice that? Because if you claim you pro-Africa and all that stuff, then you know you weren't Christian when you came over here on the boat.
Well, the Ku Klux Klan claimed they were Christian too.
No. I'm saying if you weren't Christian, you were given a religion through your slave master. It would be the equivalent of me taking you, Fenton, putting you in my house, not letting you get out, raping you and beating you for weeks, but giving you this damn book and tell you to live by it. Would you think that makes sense?
Well, here's the thing about it is, did they actually give us the book and tell us to live by it? Because they didn't want us to learn how to read.
No,
we
because they told us stories, and that's how but that's how black churches are today. It goes back out of slavery. Have you noticed the black man to get up in front of church and say, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me.
Now,
they'll repeat what he said. That's how slavery was.
He's kind of stereotyping now, but the thing is.
I'm down here in Southern Baptist. That's how they have church. I didn't make that up. Why would you say I'm stereotyping when that's true? I didn't make that him up.
About that stuff.
I'm just saying that all black churches don't sing that particular song.
I said the ones that do it came from slavery. Why is it every time I talk to black people and I say something, they say not all? When I say blacks are dying over high blood pressure, well, not all of us.
Okay. Well,
Not all of us were put in slavery either. Not all of us came from Africa and were slaves either. Why were you so comfortable saying that?
You know what? Maybe I didn't hear you correctly because somebody agreed with you or something. I may have missed a word or something that you said. So
no, I'm saying I speak in generalities. I don't speak in all. But my point was I was agreeing with you saying that they didn't teach us how to read. That's what I didn't understand. I was saying, no, they didn't.
Okay.
What they would do was tell the story to one and he'd repeat it.
Right. Okay, I'm with you. Like I said, if somebody comes in, I might miss what you're saying. But all I'm saying about that is that I believe that
you got the last word. Go ahead.
Should not be upset with white Americans. They cannot forget their heritage and what has happened to them because I believe that, like the Jewish people, with the Holocaust, it's very important that you remember your history. Now, as far as holding something against somebody, I'm definitely against that. I'm just telling you that I don't believe that all black people are at that point
And that's what I was trying to explain to the young lady, that, you know what, it may not be true, but I believe that this is the reason why they feel that way. Everybody's
lying
at that point.
But see, that's the problem. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining the show. But that's the problem.
Word.
That's how Jews have been able to get past the Holocaust, because they're not stuck in it. They don't forget it.
You know what?
They don't forget it, but they move past it. We only bring up slavery at a point. We don't bring up slavery at the dinner table to tell our kids what happened and to never let.